direct. From Guano Productions headquarters in the Los Angeles Underground, it's time for your new favorite podcast, The Superiority Complex. It's like honey in your ear holes. Welcome back to The Superiority Complex.
That's how you're going to do
it? Is that how I'm going to do it for now? Because I can never say it. You're a regular listener now.
Yes, I am.
You're welcome. And
you're welcome.
You get to hear me screw up every time. I get it. I've been very self-critical. Rebecca St. Clair is St. Clair, not Sinclair. Rebecca St. Clair.
That's right. Well, you can do both.
I'm going to make you sound like a James Bond, like someone in Bond, who's not the main girl that James Bond is like.
Well, who wants to be that girl? Because she's replaced every movie.
And she's going to die, probably.
Well, yes.
But there's always like a Saint-Germain or somebody.
Right. Who's even smarter and hotter than anyone
else.
Yeah,
of course. Right? Of course. Except the time it was Terry Hatcher. Anyway, that was a nod to my friend Hiddish, who is in love with. By the way, you listen now, so you're familiar with the regular cast of people that are never on the show but get mentioned. Happy belated birthday to Bobo. Bobo was his birthday was yesterday.
I saw that, and I said, "Happy birthday, Bobo."
Yeah, that's my best buddy. He's been on the show a couple of times. He was actually on the first ever episode of The Superiority Complex.
I like it.
We sat in his little man cave and we talked for 2 hours about nothing. It was awesome.
I like that.
We had a lot going on. We had a lot going on before. We were just leaking gold all
right.
over the place.
We were laughing really hard.
Because when we talked about, let me tell you, this is such a good joke, I'm going to repeat it.
Okay.
All right. So I asked, what's the date, today's date? Because I log all of the, for later on when I'm putting the show together, I like to have it, everything logged. And I said, what's the date today? And Rebecca said, I think it's, I don't know. Oh, she goes, oh, it's the 11th, 3/11. And then she looked at me like expectantly. And I said, and she said, it's a band. And I said, oh, yeah, you know where they're playing? And she said, where? And I said, Three Doors Down. Nothing. You gave me nothing. That
right.
was great. Well, that was gold.
I think we could have done that better. I think.
The rehash or just do it again?
Right. I think the rehash. Nope. You know what? I'm going to leave it. I think the rehash. Oh, my gosh. There's so many people out there.
The store is very busy today.
I feel like they're waiting for us.
So you're going to be hearing a lot of the beeping.
I know that I always win. I know when you're recording here and when you're recording other places.
Elsewhere, yeah.
Because of the lack of the beep. And it makes me laugh now because I know what the beep is. The first three times I listened, I hadn't been on yet. Mm-hmm. And so I kept wondering, what the hell is the beep?
Yeah.
I thought maybe it was like keeping track of minutes, so making editing easier. And now I know it's the door.
No, it's the door of the shop where we record.
And dude, I just want to note that the gentleman out there right now has a Wheaties shirt on and it's awesome. Just because of who he is and that it's a Wheaties shirt.
Who is he?
I don't know. But he looks like awesome. Like, I don't.
He's just rocking his Wheaties shirt.
Yeah.
But the nice thing is the shop is busy, so you're going to hear a lot of beeping.
Right.
Our friend Renee is out there. I'm going to give Renee a wave. Renee waves back.
I'm waving too.
Friendly staff here at Undercity.
Yeah.
Yeah, so they moved. Well, they combined stores, so now all of their... the people from their old store come in here now, and they have a lot of new people coming in. So every time I come in here now, especially on Wednesdays, which is New Comic Book Day, they're just going crazy busy.
That's why. It's New Comic Book Day.
Movies on Tuesdays. Movies get released on Tuesdays.
They're changing the release date of something.
What?
I think of albums or something. I heard this new thing that albums used to come out on a certain day, and they're moving it to a different day. So Tuesdays is movies, right? That's what you're saying?
Movies like on video.
Yeah, Netflix and video. I wonder what it is, and I can't remember, and I should have written it down. But I was going to say, this comic book store is way nicer than anyone I've ever been in. Just saying, if you're going to make it a day of doing things, come to this one.
Look at you.
And the other thing is every time I drive out here now, I'm falling in love with this stupid city, and I think I'm going to have to make some huge life decisions and change things up. But don't tell my city, because my city will get jealous.
I'm reading a really great article from NPR, why albums are released on Tuesdays in the U.S.
Oh, why?
No one knows.
Okay. They just picked a day and
it happens on Tuesday in the U.S. only. In the U.K. and France, release dates are Mondays. In Germany, it's Friday.
Friday seems like a lame day to do it anyway.
Well, the one explanation is that Billboard magazine publishes its charts on Wednesdays. So if you release an album on Tuesday, you get the maximum of 7 days of sales before the next.
Right.
So you know what I mean? You figure, I'm going to release it today. It's going to be out for a whole week. And then, so, but yeah, movies come out on Tuesdays too. If stores, so here's what other people say. Here's some of the legends surrounding why it's, if stores are told to begin selling CDs on Mondays, distributors need to ship them Sunday, and stores need to pay staff to unpack inventory and stock over the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Monday is also a government holiday more than any day of the week. So
that's true. That's true.
Let's see. They say Wednesday's no good because people are kind of over the week by Wednesday.
But I don't... Is that a sad statement about us in the United States? We're over it by Wednesday. Screw it. It's Wednesday. I'm done with this.
And the weekend, it's like
2 days.
The weekend is not a lot of press going on the weekend.
Like no, that. I think the weekend normal people have.
Oh, I just saw what you meant about the week.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Yeah.
I wish we had visual. I would just
Well, you can creep a picture of them.
I'm so bad at that. I really am bad at sneaking pictures of people because I don't have any subtlety.
Yeah.
So I just do it full out and then.
I'm always amazed that people just do that. Like,
right?
Like people just creep a picture of. Although somebody I know saw. Who did they see? They saw Dennis Rodman. And they tried to take a picture of him, but they were too far away. So it was just the person's face, like, in the foreground, like, completely washed out by the flash. And then you just see these, like a huddled mass of people at a bar. And one of those was Dennis Rodman,
apparently. One of those dots.
I'm assuming the guy that was taller than everybody else was Dennis Rodman.
Or with very bright hair.
Yeah. Or a wedding dress.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm assuming, that must be Rodman. But, yeah, it's like, you should have just said, this is a picture of me.
Right.
But I can't remember who that was. But
it you and you're just trying to cover?
Mm-mm.
Okay. Because sometimes I do that.
Have you ever snuck a picture of a famous person?
No. In fact, I think I'm really respectful of people who are in the entertainment industry because I try not to give them any extra attention or.
I just act like I don't know who they are.
You know what? I freaking ignore them because, hey, they don't know me.
I act like that. I don't know who they are. I'm just, whatever.
Well, you know, obviously. If they knew who we were. They would be asking for our autograph.
I have one of the lowest rated podcasts on the internet. There's no...
Really?
I mean, that's a thing.
Is it a thing?
It has to be. I have dozens of listeners, so...
Wow, though, that's a lot. Because you know how many listeners I have.
Well, whoever... Now they're your listeners, too, because they're listening to you right now.
Interesting. I was going to ask you, can you see who's listening at what time or can, how does that come up?
How
do you view that?
The service I use, Podbean, they have a really nice breakdown of, I can see where people are listening from. Gives me a breakdown of like, your people are from this country or this state or most of your listeners.
Do you have any other country listeners?
There's somebody in France and
shout out France.
Comment allez-vous?
I should cut the French jokes. I'm just going to...
No, I don't think we've made it at all. Get a bunch of Charles de Gaulle material. No, my friend Lauren Nichols, she taught in France for a little while. And I think one of her friends began listening.
I love that.
And I don't know if he still listens, but I do get occasionally. I'll notice IP addresses from like Australia and a couple of other places. But I'm not sure if people are just... Like that's where the feed is coming through somehow. But I can. It tells me. I know that more people listen on Apple devices than anything else. It's a crazy breakdown. It tells you how many people listen on Chrome, how many people listen via like what services.
So, like when I listen, do you see what? Do you see?
It doesn't say you.
Say me.
Yeah, unless I know your IP address, but it'll show an IP address.
Okay.
That one of those is yours, but it'll show me. So that's how I know consistently, because each. This is really boring and really inside. But
sorry,
no, it's fine.
Out there. America and France.
So you
and
have
sometimes Australia.
So I have my feed, and my feed will get so many hits. But if I go to the page, like if I go to Superiority Complex Podbean page, people will listen from that page.
Right.
So if I only listen to the listeners from that page, it looks like I have less listeners because they listen from there.
Right.
But if I go to the feed hits, it's how many times. Some kind of aggregator or something is reaching in and grabbing the feed.
So, like, I put mine on my – the last time I was on, I put it on my Twitter. I didn't put it on my Facebook.
Yeah. So, anybody that linked to that is grabbing that from direct from the feed. It's not going to my page. So, people are listening at the page. So, if you go to the superioritycomplex.podbean.com page, and it'll say – there'll be a little number next to each episode. And it'll be in parentheses, and it'll see – that'll show you how many people listened from the page.
From the page.
But then it gives me it gives me a breakdown of who listens via the feed, which means, like, I subscribe to all these podcasts, like, you know, Never Not Funny, all this stuff.
Right. I've been exploring the world of podcasts, and there's so many, and I'm wondering how am I going to listen to all these.
Well, it just depends on what you like. I embraced podcasts a few years ago because I hate commercials on the radio.
Right.
Go ahead.
Which brings – later on, we're going to talk about chemistry between people and like co-host, and that reminds me. Like, not the commercial thing, but radio now. I think there's a real lack of what's
– But you'll find a lot of that in podcasting because what ends up happening in podcasts is it's people that are friends, and they're like, hey, let's start a podcast. Or there are a lot of great comedians who have podcasts, and they usually do it with one or two other comedians. And if they don't – they're talking to other guys that are – I listen to a lot of comedic podcasts or comedy podcasts, and they always – you know, and it's also from them being on stage.
I think, too, though, there's a genuineness to it, whereas if you're on a radio show, you have to be – you're being paid.
Yeah.
And that's forced, and then there's an expectation, and there's limitations as far as what you can mention. And I think when you do it for yourself and you're with somebody that you really like –
They're passionate about it.
Right. Why are you holding the mic that way? That's weird. If you guys could picture – he's caressing it. Like, literally, he's going to kiss it. Like an old-fashioned kissing
move. Like 1930s.
Yes.
Like, we're just going to press our lips together.
Right. Like, I should have on very pale lips.
Yeah, yeah. While the music swells.
Definitely. And
then we're just going to push our lips to each other. Yeah.
What would be an old-timey name? Like, oh, Franklin. Something like that. Yeah. What would my name be?
What is this?
Beatrice.
So, Franklin, well, your name would be Eleanor because obviously this is the Franklin Delano Roosevelt story.
No, that's not romantic at all. Why not? I think she was gay, so she wouldn't have been kissing a man.
You think she was a lesbian?
There's a lot of theories on it.
I know she had one of my favorite quotes ever.
Which is?
No one can make you feel bad without your permission. And I'm very loosely translating.
I like that quote.
They did have a really, really weird relationship because he was like open about his, I think he was having an affair for a while. And she was kind of okay with it.
Right. So I think when, also being that she's a very strong female,
mm-hmm.
two things in my head kind of make me think, well, then she probably had something on the side because she was like, well, I don't need you.
Yeah. I know more about FDR's presidency. I don't really know about him, like,
his personal life.
You know, you know about the battle with Polo. What amazes me is that the idea that a lot of people in the country didn't know he had polio, and it would have been taken as a sign of weakness, so he was never photographed.
Right. They always photographed him sitting down. He had
braces. He could stand up for, like, short periods. So he'd be making a speech.
And he didn't allow people to watch him come and go.
Yeah.
You know, like,
I didn't know that. Is that true?
Well, quote me if I'm wrong. Okay. Fix me if I'm wrong.
Correct you if you're wrong.
Gosh, I gave up coffee for Lent, and it's really affecting some areas of my brain. Coffee and red wine.
Wow.
Right? I don't even know how I'm sitting here. Am I here? Is this a dream?
If you hadn't eaten red wine at 11 o'clock in the morning, you needed to give it up. So your body's probably just like...
Why are you judging me?
I'm not judging. I'm just saying.
You did. You just said you needed to give it up. I don't know.
I'm just saying 11 o'clock in the morning.
It's brunch.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Brunch is on Sundays, not Tuesdays.
Brunch is every day of the week. Why limit it to one day?
Well, if you're unemployed, it is. Every day is brunch day. You know what I mean? Like,
right?
Yeah.
Fried potatoes are delicious every day of the week.
Oh, my God.
And micheladas.
Me?
Mimosas.
There's no I in michelada.
How do you say it?
Michelada.
I say michelada. Just like that.
But it's only because you're half mixed.
I think – so I've been hanging out with some people who
are – I say Mitchies. Let's go get some Mitchies, brah.
Right? I've been hanging out with some people who are like – straight up Mexican, and I feel really white, like for the first time in my life.
Yeah.
White.
Yeah.
May I have a quesadilla, please?
I just, like you said, I always say it on the show all the time. It's drive-through Spanish for me.
Right.
That's it.
Well, mine's apparently not even that good. Michelada.
No,
I love it. Michelada.
That's how I got my wife into beer. My wife never used to like drink beer. And then I started getting her I ordered a Michelada somewhere. And she's like, let me try that. And then she was like, oh, that's good. So I started making, yeah. So I started making it for them. And then making them for her.
Mario didn't even give up.
I know.
Coffee. I don't know.
And
what
then
his problem is.
I have 4 hours of sleep less. I could not sleep.
I saw that. Saw that you had insomnia. Insomnia is the worst. It's like hell on earth. It's kind of a punishment of your body.
The day before, so yesterday, I didn't sleep. I only slept like 3 hours. So I took a long nap in the afternoon, and that hosed me for the night last night.
You have to, when you're going to take a nap when you haven't slept, you have to just give it a short time.
Like 20 minutes. Right. Yeah. No, I went into like 90-minute territory, which.
That's where you're starting to the REM cycle. Mm-hmm. And
everybody
all.
Knows how I feel about Michael Stipe. But we were talking about, that's him in the corner.
Right.
We're talking about the Roosevelts. We're talking about Franklin
right,
D.
FDR.
Frankie D. So you were saying
right.
You think, okay, but you were making a point about
like
Frankie D.
I feel like because I love history, I feel like at one point I heard that he was very self-conscious and would not, like, you know, the press would come in to talk to him. He would make it so he was there first.
Oh, okay.
Whereas the normal protocol is the president will arrive and everyone's there.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
He would make it so he would be in first and then people would come in.
Yeah.
Because he did not want any sort of documentation or anyone to really highlight the fact that he was either in a wheelchair at the time or using his walker.
Yeah, his braces. Yeah.
He really wanted to be seen as strong. And so I think that's really, really interesting because when you look back, we know now that he had a lot of issues. But at the time, people were really not aware of it.
No.
So it's sort of like kind of makes your brain, you know, boggle
a little bit. Yeah, it's just, because now the press would just be all over.
Right.
There would be no,
right.
You know, and it's just like you fast forward 20 years and like it was well known that like Kennedy was having like affairs in the White
right.
House and the press was just like, okay, we're not going to.
Right. We're not going to touch that. We're not going to do that.
And now it's just, you know, like, can you imagine?
Right. Oh my gosh. Everything that.
Now people are ripping on on the president's kids because, you know what I mean?
Right.
Because they're rolling their eyes at the turkey. You know what I mean?
It's like if they're teenagers. Ugh, my son rolls his eyes so much they're going to fall out of his head. I swear. Just. You know what I mean? But there have been several, you know, kids throughout the White House's time, and they've always been fairly protected. But if you look, I think that there's more – we see more of Obama's children than we saw of, like, Chelsea Clinton.
Chelsea, though, was never, like – they were always, like, she's ugly. And you,
oh, God.
You remember?
They were so mean to her.
They were really mean to her.
But they – so I think the Clintons really did keep her – really out of the spotlight, whereas the Obamas are like, we're a family, we're doing stuff, we're hanging out, we're rollerblading, we're healthy, and you're like,
wow. When I was really little, I remember Jimmy Carter's daughter, whose name I can't think of right now, but I always thought it was so cool because they, you know, she kind of got a lot of, and you're like, wow,
right.
Like that kid's my age, you know what I mean? And she's the, you know, she lives in the White House,
right.
You know? And the Reagans didn't have kids. Their kids were grown already.
They were out, yeah. What other kids?
Bush's kids were older. So, you know, Chelsea Clinton was the first one in a while that
right.
Why can't I think of Jimmy Carter's daughter's name?
I know. I was gonna start throwing
out. His wife was Rosalind, and his daughter was... it's going to bug me.
Are we looking it up? But we should talk while we're looking it up.
You talk to me.
Okay. You're looking it up. Okay. Fascinating stuff out there, podcast world. I don't.
Oh, by the way,
what?
We almost lost Harrison Ford.
The plane crash in the same week that we lost
Amy Carter.
Amy, I was gonna not say Amy.
Is Amy? And when you I do not want to sound mean, but Chelsea Clinton got a lot of heat, but Amy basically looks like a shrunken down version of Jimmy.
Looks a lot like her dad.
With a wig.
But look at the time frame. When were the Carters in? 70?
76.
Yeah,
76.
So the 70s, I mean, nobody was attractive in the 70s. People were wearing polyester. And
what about
a lot of,
Farrah Fawcett?
Well, even I think if you just took away her bikini, she wasn't probably that hot.
What?
I don't find her very – she's blonde. Like, you know
what about
I mean?
Lee Majors?
Who's Lee Majors? I know Lee Majors.
He's Steve Austin, astronaut, a man barely alive.
But why are we asking if he's hot?
Well, he was an attractive guy.
That threw me, Mario. I was like,
what about David Bowie in the
70s? No. Oh, my God. David Bowie is so ugly.
Yeah, but he's, like, so ugly, he's good looking. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you know how, like, there's someone he's, who just, he, like, crosses over right. into, like.
But that's what I'm saying. The 70s were a lot of that. The
Linda Carter?
Linda Carter was gorgeous.
Wonder
Hello.
Woman.
I almost reached across here and was like, what are you going to say about Linda Carter right now?
That's what I'm saying.
She was beautiful, but she didn't last very long in Hollywood. Did you notice that? I think she was too pretty.
She was half Mexican, that's why.
Really? I didn't know that about her.
I think she's half Mexican.
She's so hot. Like, even now, I saw a picture of her recently and just gorgeous. Oh, my God. But she didn't stay very long in the entertainment world. She did Wonder Woman and maybe, like, a few other things that didn't get a lot of.
Let's see. Let me find out.
But she's just amazing, beautiful, very curvy.
Yeah, see, Carter was born in Phoenix, Arizona, the daughter of Juanita Cordova.
Ooh.
And
that doesn't
Colby
sound
Carter.
Like she's Mexican at all. What are you talking
Might
about?
Might be Spanish.
No kidding. She sounds very...
Maybe...
Juanita Cordova. Cordova is Spanish.
Yeah, so she might have been... She's definitely Latina.
I like it.
I know that. I thought she was... Maybe not. Well, all Mexicans. All Latinos are Mexican.
It's all – here's the thing. If you have any sort of Mexican – you probably have Spanish. You probably have some Native American. Yeah. Like my family.
No, there's a picture of her now. She does look great. She's 63.
Right? Gorgeous.
Looks gorgeous. Ugh. Good old – but oh, man, that was a huge – my family, Wonder Woman was huge. Oh, dude, Daisy Duke?
She was all right.
That's the 70s. Look at what about everybody that was on
oh my God.
Banging myself in the mouth.
Mario just smacked himself with excitement over about, Daisy Duke. Not even lying.
What about it? Wouldn't be the first time. What about everybody that was on Dallas?
But now you're getting late 70s, 80s.
Dallas was like big in the 70s. I'm trying to think of all these people on the.
But they were just a lot of hair. I think without their hair and makeup, they weren't.
Let's see some of the bands in the 70s you had that were attractive people in the 70s.
You're reaching. You're really reaching.
I just busted.
You named like five and then sort of went into, there were bands. That's exactly what you did.
Let me look. I'm going to look. I'm going to Google.
I'm going to need some people to comment on this because the 70s were not a huge.
Hot. Oh, what about Suzanne Summers?
Oh, you just keep naming people that are blonde.
What's wrong with that?
It's just, blonde doesn't equate hot. She was thin with big boobs and blonde.
I don't. I'm not. Okay.
You're confused here we go. About my criteria.
Here we go. The 70 hottest women of the 70s.
Okay, let's hear them.
This is probably the most misogynistic list
we're
I've
sorry,
ever seen.
But I'm we're not sorry. Can
I
you
apologize.
Move the thing so I can see it or no?
No.
Okay.
No.
So go.
I think I can shoot it up there. It might be on there.
Well, there's not a picture on
there. We got Dusty Springfield.
Dusty Springfield. I heard that name sounds so familiar.
She's the son of a preacher man.
That's right.
She's an English
hot.
Singer.
Right there.
Yeah. See?
Hot.
70s. Bernadette Peters.
Okay, hot.
Helen Reddy.
Oh, why can't I picture her face?
I Am Woman.
Oh, yeah. Hear Me Roar. Yeah, so hot.
Chris Everett, the tennis player.
Star. Hot, okay.
Also got Jim Rome slapped around. Joni Mitchell.
Joni Mitchell's so hot.
Tammy Wynette.
Okay.
Sometimes it's hard to be a woman.
That was the best gift ever.
Giving all. Cher, disagree. Although.
I think she was hot back then.
What I love about Cher is that she embraced, and she had an unusual look, and she embraced it.
Yeah, I like that.
Because I think she's part Native American, and she's part, so she was always really, I remember my dad would watch Sonny and Cher when I was a kid, and she was always really like, I'm proud of who I am, so
right.
I always thought that
and
was
And plus,
cool.
God bless her, because I'm pretty sure Sonny was way shorter than her.
Oh yeah, he was.
And she just loved up on him, just in, and I think, you know.
Charo.
Oh, did you ever watch Charo on Love Boat? I loved it when she would guest star on that. I love that show.
Stevie Nicks.
Stevie Nicks is good. Okay.
And Margaret. She's more 60s. But
she is hot.
Oh, my God.
Remember Hello, Mrs. Robinson.
Linda Ronstadt.
Okay, good. This is a good list. See, these are hot women. The women you were naming.
Erin Gray from Buck Rogers in the 25th century. Those blue eyes. Brunette. Your
right.
style?
Right. I like it. I like
All right.
it.
Carrie Fisher. How could I forget? Princess
exactly.
Leia?
Exactly. Princess
Come
Leia.
Come on. Look at you. We're not even in the... We haven't even cracked the 50s yet. I'm just giving you like... Morgan Fairchild?
She was good. Good. All right.
Oh, I had a crush on this Mary Lou Henner from Taxi.
Oh, had a big she crush. Was hot.
Yeah, and she was...
I think all the women that you're naming are not only hot, but they're very, like, accomplished, smart, sassy.
Dolly Parton.
Oh, I love... Her middle name's Rebecca. I love Dolly Parton.
Valerie Bertinelli.
Love her.
America's Sweetheart. Here's one of my favorite names just to say. Lola Falana.
Lola Falana.
You remember her? She would always show up on, like TV shows and stuff. Let me see. I'm just skipping now.
So she was like a character person that they just put throughout.
No, she
things.
Was like a, she was like a, she was like a Vegas, like act. She was like a Vegas act. She, oh, she had like okay. a big, and so they would always.
But like the American Charo?
But she would end up on like Love Boat and stuff. Yes. Like those, like Fantasy Island.
Oh my God. Fantasy Island. Do you remember Fantasy Island? I love that show.
Are you kidding me?
I feel like last time we talked about this. Do we just talk about the same stuff?
You know who they put on here?
Who?
Oh. One of my childhood crushes, Maureen McCormick.
I don't know.
Marsha Brady.
I don't know that
when
she's
you're a
so
little
hot.
Boy, she's when you're a boy though, when you're a young man.
Okay, she had a cute nose.
Maren Jensen from Battlestar Galactica. Right? I had a crush on her. Mm-hmm. She okay. kind of looked like Lauren Nichols. Oh, Mary Tyler Moore.
Love her. Throw the hat.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Now, let's see. We're going. We're keeping. Tina Turner.
Tina Turner.
Come
hot.
On, right?
So hot.
Faye Dunaway.
Okay, good, good.
All right, come on. Come on. Lonnie Anderson.
She, where, what, she just sort of disappeared.
Well, she had that whole thing with Burt Reynolds, and then once they broke up, it kind of.
Wow. But she was really hot. And Susan Burt, Day. Burt was pretty good looking.
Susan Day was Laurie Partridge. Remember
mm-hmm,
Laurie Partridge?
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. I'm just skipping now. Goldie Hawn. Oh, what about Terry Garr?
Terry Garr, yeah. From Saturday Night Live?
No.
What? Who am I thinking? Terry from Saturday Night Live was what?
Terry, I don't know from Saturday Night Live. Terry Garr was Young Frankenstein.
I feel like she did go on Saturday Night Live.
Maybe she did. Maybe she hosted.
Maybe.
You know, Terry Garr, she was Mr. Mom, the wife. She was the wife in Close Encounters.
Right, right.
Barbara Bach, Ringo Starr's wife, was one of the most beautiful Bond women ever. Look at this. There's Suzanne Somers riding high at 23.
Are we going? Is it the lower the number is better, the higher the number is better?
You want to you work your way to number one.
Oh, okay.
Angie Dickinson, policewoman. Are you kidding me? Allie McGraw, Steve McQueen's ex-wife. Cheryl Ladd, another.
Oh, yeah. She was a Sports Illustrated.
Yes. Yes. See? No. Let's see. Oh, wait. We're getting. Okay. Who do you think is number one? I want to see who
of
you
the
think.
70s? Oh, yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Bo Bridges. The one with the, is she on there?
Catherine Bach is number 10, and she was Daisy Duke. And you said she was not that attractive.
Okay.
TV's Lindsay Wagner, the Bionic Woman, at number 9.
Okay.
Raquel Welch, number 8. I think of her more being the 60s, but Deborah Harry from Blondie.
All right.
No? Jane Seymour. Linda Carter, number 5.
There you go. Ding, ding, ding. I wish we had a bell.
Cheryl Teagues. She was such a huge model when I was a kid. Jacqueline Bisset.
What was she from? Why am I not picturing her face?
Number 2, Farrah Fawcett.
Okay, okay.
Oh, number 1, with a bullet. I agree with this. Pam Grier. You would know her best from Jackie Brown. But she was in a lot of 70s blaxploitation films. Pam Grier. Gorgeous. Gorgeous Pam Grier. Jacqueline Bisset was in, she was in that movie, The Deep. What is what you, let me see.
Now I get to see.
Jackie Bisset.
Oh, I see her.
You know?
Yes.
She kind of looks like this girl.
Very 70s.
Rebecca Sinclair.
No.
She was like a Rebecca Sinclair. Look at you. No, well, let's look. Like, you know what? Turnabout is fair play.
Right.
Let's find
Are we going to do the dudes?
Let's find some dudes.
Right? You're welcome, ladies.
But yeah, I don't know why you think people weren't... Is it just because you don't like the styles of the 70s?
I think maybe because everyone had bad shampoo going on. And literally, the hair so bad in the 70s. Like, I think people were forgetting to condition or something was happening.
It was just that real blown out.
Right.
People were getting into kind of like a more... 28 men you fell in love with during the 70s.
Okay, here we go.
You only get 28.
Because there wasn't enough, or what?
All right, first of all, number one with a bullet, Harrison Ford.
Yes, agreed.
Right?
Still good looking.
Hopefully, Harrison
He's doing well. They upgraded him.
A speedy recovery to you. Crashes right? Did you see where he crashed the plane though?
No.
He like missed. He had to land on the golf course. So, you know, engine trouble came back. He landed. He had to like navigate between like trees. So it's like this one open space in this area of the golf course. Went between trees and then landed like 50 yards short of like some houses.
Wow.
Like put it down.
And he did it.
So there you go, man.
Was he in the plane alone?
He was in the plane alone. It was a World War II vintage aircraft. David Cassidy?
He was, yeah, good. All right.
What about Sean Cassidy?
His brother.
What about John Travolta?
He was all right.
What about Burt Reynolds?
He was so hot.
What about Donny Osmond?
Yeah. He was almost too good looking. You know those guys that are too good looking that you don't want to date because they're going to take more time to get ready than you will?
What about Henry Winkler? The Fonz.
No. I never thought, sorry, Henry Winkler, if you're listening.
I hear he's like so nice though.
Yeah, yeah, really, really, really nice.
He was great on Arrested Development.
Yes, I loved him on Arrested, but not handsome.
No, you know, not
at all. Not even as the Fonz. I love that they really tried to make him be that.
He was also kind of short.
Short, yeah. And they decided this is going to be our icon. We're going to make him this ladies' man, and
you know
put
what?
Him in a jacket and motorcycle boots.
Boy, you girls really got the. You guys got the short shirt.
I'm telling you.
You got a.
Is Eric Estrada on there? And his partner?
No, but let me tell you who's on here. So you got Henry Winkler. Then you have Tim Matheson from Animal House, who was a good-looking guy. Then you have John Ritter.
You know what though? I like John Ritter, and then his son is pretty cute too. I think his name is Jason Ritter.
Oh, okay.
He was on. A couple different shows. He's been trying to get in, you know.
You got Al Pacino.
Okay. All
right. Andy Gibb
from the Gibb Brothers. I love it. I'm not so much. Okay, we're going to edit that out.
What about Mark Harmon? Now on NCIS. But when he was young, he played for UCLA. He was a quarterback. He's a handsome dude. You got Tom Wopat from Dukes of Hazzard. You got Mark Hamill.
Mark Hamill.
Oh, okay. There's Eric Estrada.
See, I knew it. That 70s list of men wouldn't be complete without him.
Ryan O'Neal,
okay.
Rick Springfield.
Yes, all right.
You wish he had
just... Every woman, every girl in the 70s just loved him in his open shirt.
What about Parker Stevenson?
Okay, all right. Not my kind of tea.
Leif Garrett?
Again, not my tea.
Michael Caine?
What? Why?
Michael Caine.
Okay.
What about Sean Connery?
All right. He's all right. He's good. This list is just ridiculous. Who put this together? Some man in the 70s who was like, oh, laughing to himself.
Okay, here we go. 1970s sexiest actor. These are TV actors. Okay, there's what's his name? What was I said? Lee Majors. Oh, my God. This list is terrible. Okay, so I might be with you on the guys in the
70s. Right.
Maybe that's what you're looking at.
Maybe.
Well, what about like Robert Redford was?
Yeah, he was handsome, but there was a lot of facial hair happening in the 70s.
Yeah, so does that not do it for you?
Facial hair and really short shorts and high socks.
So let's take a... The high socks are coming back, but the kids are wearing them black and it looks terrible. Well,
they wear the white too. It's just...
No, black socks looks...
It's taken me a minute to get used to it.
Nobody will ever beat Michael Cooper from the LA Lakers, who had about an inch around his knee showing because he would wear the socks so high.
And then his shorts so low.
Well, you know, actually they had short shorts back in those days. So it actually was, you know, you did see more knee, but every time I watch, cause I'm flipping to the channels and they'll have like the greatest Lakers, greatest games. And they show the 80s. I was like, what was going on with those shorts? Why were we okay with this?
Because what? They're short?
They were really short.
But if you look at the 70s, they were even shorter.
Yeah, you see like the 70s they dunk contest, like Dr. J, he's basically wearing a Speedo.
Right.
And
that's so that to not inhibit their movement as athletes.
Yeah. Is that what it was?
I don't know.
Is that what it was?
Or was it just to show off their lovely legs?
Yeah, Dr. J had some nice legs. Oh. Especially when they were dunking on people. We're going to take a quick break. So we're going to close the most misogynistic segment we've ever done on the show. And we'll say that the women in the 70s were probably more attractive than the men.
I agree.
I think the men had a better time of it in the 70s. As far as eye candy.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Yeah, thanks. I got to walk down memory lane and remember
That's what I'm here for.
A lot of those girls I had crushes on.
Right.
Yeah. We'll be back in a minute. We'll be right back. Welcome back, everybody. This hour we're going to be covering some exciting St. Patrick's Day recipes. And we're also going to have a talk with a resident pet expert. I'm just kidding.
That would be awesome. I was just about to say, so I have a cornbread skillet recipe that's going to be amazing. No, no, I don't. Or some potatoes.
So what was your quote about right before we came back on the break? What was
that? That was my Irish potatoes.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't like
what,
it?
What?
I think this will be released right around St. Patrick's Day, so people are going to be drunk anyway.
It's going to be released tomorrow.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, you do a week turnaround.
No, I don't, because of that 1 week I was sick.
Oh, see, I thought I didn't know what topics we should address because of it. No, now I'm off. Forget it. I got
to
go.
I want you to talk to me real quick about what you said when we were coming back on the break. You said, what was your quote about women and men?
I don't know if those people out there who have recorded with you, Mario, know the joy that this is. But sometimes we talk not with the mics, and it's funny. But I'm very liberal with what I say. And mm-hmm. then you're like, no, say it for the mics. And I feel like people out there are going to think I'm a douche. So with that regard...
If they didn't after that last segment...
I would like to claim my douche award now. You can mail it here to the comic book store. So what I was saying is it's every woman's job to take the men who are just basically alone. And when you're alone without a woman or a partner, it could be a partner.
You didn't qualify this before. You just said women do is we take men and we mold them and we make them something better.
That is what I said.
That's what every woman does.
Yes.
Is that true?
That is true. That is true. Because men are idiots. No offense out there, men. But you guys are. You just, your brains don't work, I think, independently. It's like a synergy that has to happen. You have to have a partner and a balance.
Uh-huh.
And that's
like
what
the
we
force.
Do. Right. We teach you things that we want from you specifically and a little bit generally for all humankind. But more just for personal reasons. Like I like things a certain way, but the next woman will like them a little bit different. But we teach you how to do that, to take that in.
Yeah. Okay.
To be able to not say, well, screw you, I don't want that. We teach you with the sex. We reward you with the sex. So when you do good things the way we want, we'll let you have some.
So what you're saying is sex.
Puppy treats.
Sex is, it's essentially the equivalent of like sausages.
Yes.
Yeah.
You're welcome.
I'm going to get that. That's my new euphemism. Gonna go get some sausages.
Can I get some sausages? Sausages.
Whoa. See?
See?
Sausages on the brain.
Well,
you brought this up.
I have Irish descent, and growing up Irish, I had to
Paul
hear
Tompkins.
Terrible, horrible stories about the terrible, horrible Irish potato famine.
Potato.
18 what? Somethings. And how terrible it was. Let me tell you something. Millions of people died in the Irish potato famine. Millions of people. And why? Because there were no potatoes. Are these the pickiest people in the world? I mean, come on. Oh, no. My belly's all bloated and distended. I'm dying. If only I had a potato. Oh, sweet baby Jesus. Please make it rain potatoes. I'm dying.
Have you ever had a friend who's from Ireland, like a deep Irish friend?
Our old landlady.
Really?
Was Irish.
I worked with a guy who was Irish. He was so miserable.
Really?
Yeah, he was so angry about everything.
Anne and Pat. Pat was her husband. And it was really cool because Pat would tell me all these stories about – because he lived in London in the 70s and he worked – he was like a bouncer at a nightclub.
Oh.
And, you know, he's like the short guy but like all –
Right,
like,
thick.
He was older but you could tell he was like a stout Irish and he would tell me all these stories about – I used to have to kick their asses out in the street. You know, like he'd tell me all these stories like really cool. Like, right. But I always wanted to see a picture of him. He's like, oh, yeah, I had a big afro. Like he's like – I wanted to see like the picture of him like – It's like, yeah, I used to go in the clubs there in London, and it was a really cool scene, you know. He would tell me all these great stories, but he was like a bouncer at like a club.
Why don't we have club scenes like we used to have club scenes? Like in the 70s when there was like And even the 80s a little bit, there was great clubs. Like, I think the clubs now are just stupid.
Probably because of Obama.
Oh, my God, right? Have you seen the meme where he can't fit his cookie into his cup for dunking? And he goes, Obama.
He's like, thanks, Obama. Thanks, yeah.
I almost died.
Because it was him and he's like alone at like a kitchen table. Yes. It's like the saddest thing ever.
Because it's become the new thing. Yes, anything and everything. Thanks, Obama.
Thanks, Obama.
Jeez.
I'm pumped.
Jesus Christ. No. Best line ever.
What?
Oh, I loved it. Jesus Christ.
Sweet baby. Paul F. Tompkins, if you guys don't listen to him, he's the best. He really makes me laugh because he does stuff like that. He'll just do stuff about it. My favorite bit of his is about going in ordering a stromboli. And stromboli is kind of like a pizza. It's kind of like a calzone almost.
Okay.
But
is the East Coast, West Coast thing like grinder versus hoagie?
The whole thing. Oh, yeah. There's a debate. My daughter had the whole stromboli thing like memorized because all about. It's one of those situations where you go to a different waitress like a few weeks later and they're like, oh, we don't have that. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then, but the waitress tells him, because he orders it. The waitress talks him into it. He orders it. Loves it. Comes back, 2 weeks later, and it's a different waitress. And she's like, we don't have a stromboli. He's like, yeah, you do. I just ordered a couple weeks ago. She's like, no, we haven't had that in years, is what she says. And so he says, I think I ate a ghost stromboli. It really makes me laugh. But you know how you do that? You go to it's like a different waitress will just say, oh, no, we don't have that. So somebody's lying.
I lie all the time.
How are you doing on daylight savings time?
I hate it. I'm complaining. Hey, listen, just because someone complains doesn't mean you have to call them out. Mario was calling people out for complaint. I don't know what it is. I don't know why that the loss of the hour is so debilitating.
Let me tell you something. Not only did I get called, I got called out for calling people out.
Right.
By our friend Martin Cisneros, who, by the way, Martin, was complaining the day before about teenagers ruining trivia crack. So that's who's calling me out about complaining, about people complaining.
Well, are they? Are the teenagers ruining?
Teenagers ruin everything.
Well, that's true.
But that doesn't mean.
They're a surly bunch.
Yeah, they're jerks.
But, so you lose that hour. I didn't sleep that night. Because I don't know.
I'm confused by people who are thrown off by daylight savings time. Because it is not a big deal. People try to make it a big deal. These drama queens and kings. Twice a year, you will hear people say things like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm all screwed up because of daylight savings time. What? It's just an hour. It's just an hour. You didn't get off a plane from Australia. There's nothing to be disoriented by. It's just an hour. But still, twice a year, people, is this milk still good? What happens now? What? Who is the president?
Smart ass.
There you go. That's all you had. Paul F. Tompkins.
Smart
from his
ass.
Album Impersonal. I hope I don't get in trouble for playing that.
I know. I was like, how much of that can you sample?
We don't know.
Okay.
I'll find out.
It's always better to say sorry than to ask for permission, right?
It's easier to get forgiveness than it is to ask permission. I don't think that works as far as copyright law is concerned. But that is a love letter to the great Paul Tompkins. If you have not heard it, please get his album Impersonal, which is fantastic.
See, I think it's okay because now you just promoted it. So I think it's fine.
I don't know. I don't know how that works.
I feel like it's fine.
I have had someone on the podcast who knows Paul F. Tompkins.
Wow. So fancy.
If it gets back to Paul F. Tompkins, I could be in real trouble.
Or he could say thank you.
I would. He is one of my absolute favorites. So hopefully I won't. Maybe I just will just delete that. People will go,
then nothing will make sense.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to do. I'm going to delete that whole quote.
I love it. People will be like, what the hell are they? You know what happened? Time change.
Yeah, yeah, that's
yeah,
it.
That's exactly what happened.
Oh, that's what I'll do. I'll daylight savings that whole. I'm going to do that in the potato famine.
Spring forward, just gone. What? Just gone.
You're wearing your grandma shawl right now.
I know, because I'm cold. Well, I thought it worked with the whole outfit.
You look like my grandma poncho right now. It does. It looks nice.
I thought, I'm wearing a Bob shirt, and I thought the grandma sweater and the pants with the holes in it.
I didn't see the pants with the holes
in it. Well, they do have holes in them. And then I have just these shoes that are falling apart.
Well, you look fantastic.
Well, you're so nice. After you just told me I had a grandma sweater.
You do, but it's like a nice...
But I work it, people. I work it.
I wear grandpa sweaters all the time, and that's I look true. Fantastic.
That's true. You do. They're so comfy. That's the problem.
I've reached that age.
I feel like I'm hip enough to wear it.
Oh, I look good. Yeah, I look good in whatever.
Right. I like that. We're sticking to that.
And my cousin tried to call me out on Facebook for, like, that picture. I posted a picture, and I said... this is me, like, suave, sophisticated man about town. And he's like, yeah, in a sweater. And what did I do? I posted a picture of Frank Sinatra wearing the same dang cardigan.
Right. I loved it. I love that sweater. I love that picture. Thank you. It was suave. It was sophisticated. Yeah. It was a man about town. Yeah.
Daddy knows what he's doing.
Exactly. Oh, we're getting a message.
What is it?
I don't know.
Is it in a bottle?
Well, that would be weird since we're nowhere near the ocean.
Or Sting. Did it take you a while?
What? No, it didn't.
Message in a bottle by the police.
I know. I almost started singing it, but then
message in a bottle.
But there you go. That sounds like. Exactly. I don't like the police, and I don't really like Sting.
Well, like Ice-T said. Oh, the band.
Right.
Oh, okay.
No, I like the regular police. They're mostly kind and generous people. Why are you laughing? I said mostly.
Don't turn this into a political.
It's not. I'm just saying.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, my gosh. Is it because you're Latino? Are you angry right now?
I'm not angry.
Or is it because you're UCLA? There's a lot of protests there.
There's a lot of hot.
Is it because your school often gets the attention of the police?
I went to Cal State Fullerton, girl.
I don't. Okay.
They get no attention. No, unless they're
not even a blip on the radar.
Unless they're playing baseball.
Right? They're not anywhere. Unless they're playing baseball.
I'll tell you who's getting some attention right now, those UCI kids not wanting to put the flag in the lobby.
But you just said you didn't want to get political.
I don't.
So should we not mention because I have opinions on it. And I know that Facebook has a lot of opinions
Facebook
on it.
Facebook has a lot of opinions.
Here's the thing that I argue with all the time. And I love history. I've studied it. And it's one of those things that's near and dear to me.
You can say whatever you want on this show. I'm just going to edit it. I'm just letting you know that right
Daylight savings time it. You're not going to edit. You're going to daylight savings it. Would you please get down with my lingo?
We're going to time warp.
Okay. Let's do... No, we're not going to sing. Yeah.
We're going to Star Trek it.
Here's the thing. If you truly do believe... in this country and everything that it's for and it's about and everything it was built on, then you must believe in the fact that we allow for free speech and the spirit of debate.
I agree with you there.
Those kids don't want the flag in their lobby. They put it together and said, we don't want the flag in the lobby. People agreed with them. That's their right under our government that we've established, whether you agree with it or not.
That is absolutely true.
And I love that. I love the spirit of that. That's what our country is about. It's what makes us a living, breathing government. And without that, then you become
democracy.
Without that, you become something different.
I will tell you, I will quote my own dad, who was fond of saying, when I served this country, I fought for the right to people. What was it? I was an awesome way you said it. I fought for people to have the right to say whatever they want, even if they're idiots.
There you go. I love your dad.
And that's kind of how I feel about this, where it's just a bunch of dumb, you know, when you're 21,
you're young and idealistic and you just want to move the world and shake the world, even if what you're moving and shaking isn't necessarily.
We're going to really show a man.
Right. Show the man.
We're going to stick it to the man.
You know what?
Right here.
We've been trying to stick it to the man since the 60s and the man just isn't getting stuck is the problem. But I enjoy that we keep trying.
Here's the thing, though. I agree. The people who. I do agree with some of what they said because they talked about how you know the flag doesn't only represent the good, but it represents like colonialism and stuff that America's been involved with. All that is absolutely true.
Right.
But there are for me, I feel there are better ways to do it than taking the flag down isn't going to get the kind of attention
exactly.
that you want.
Well,
so there's better ways to go about it.
Here's the thing. Why do they even have to have the flag? They don't have to have the flag. It's the way that they're going about removing it that is they're trying to get attention. So they're trying to get attention for their cause and their purpose, which is legitimate.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So they're doing what they believe in. And, yeah. And like you said, even if they're idiots, even if what they're doing, they have enough people listening.
I don't think they're idiots per se. I just think that, yeah, I think they're just, it's like I said, it's just a way for me to say, I think I said this to a friend, look how clever we are, because we're using freedom of speech to remove the very thing that symbolizes freedom of speech. Aren't we clever? And then one of those. Look, I agree. I'm not saying we shouldn't have freedom of speech. I'm not even that mad about it. I know people are freaked out.
Right.
About,
oh, like, people are real. Get out of this country. It's like, what? Just because I don't agree with something, I have to leave? Is that how we're doing things
now?
Oh,
they should go back where they came from. What if they're all from here?
And that's what's funny is, damn foreigners. Why, just because they don't want the flag, does that make them foreign?
Yeah.
Like, it doesn't.
We've had plenty of people in this country.
I think some of the, you know, some of the longest generations in this family, or in this, we're all a family.
Yeah, we are. We're all brothers and sisters.
In this country, can say things that are pretty controversial. So, you know, it doesn't.
I like the way you say controversial.
I know. I think I say it funny.
Because you do, most of us do the SH.
Yeah.
You do the hard S.
Right. And I couldn't.
Controversial.
Yeah, I couldn't repeat it if you asked me
to. Do it
to.
Again.
No, I can't, because that's.
I just derailed your argument. I'm sorry.
Right.
But I had.
Well, you made me self-conscious too.
No, don't. Self-conscious?
No, I did. I said it right. I said self-conscious, right?
You said self-conscious.
No, I didn't.
You didn't.
I didn't.
This is fun to do.
No, but I think if you listen to my speech, I say a lot of weird words or funky.
But the thing is, you look good saying that.
Oh, but see, this isn't a visual podcast. We got
to
get that.
You're ready to run for office. We are not ever doing that.
Come on. Some of us are good looking.
Some of us.
I'm nodding both ways.
I have a face
for
radio.
You can't see it though.
I have a face for radio.
I really want to get a podcast. I want to be podcastian. Is that how you say it?
Here's the thing, and we haven't announced it formally, but I think my buddy Martin is going to be making more appearances on the show, hopefully, because we had a great show last time, and he's now not committed to doing his other podcast, so he was driving out from like. Orange County, like a couple times a week out here. And so, it's kind of a long drive for him. And so he's not doing the other podcast anymore. So I said, hey, you know, I want you to, but you're always welcome. Like, I want to, you know, it'd be great to have you in every
Mario day. Says this, and then he books other guests.
Like just... once a month. Well, I have to.
Whatever.
It can't always be like.
I want a show called The Becca Show.
Why don't you just start a podcast?
I know. I think I should.
You know anywhere that has a studio? You're sitting in one right now. You can rent the room. You come in. You record.
I think the only person that would listen was me. And then I would just be laughing maniacally in a corner.
By yourself.
It's good stuff.
You know, there's a lot of podcasts out there where people do solo shows. And I don't think... I've done a couple where I have to like make announcements or whatever.
Right.
And it's always weird.
I don't think a solo show works. I think you have to... Again, with the chemistry, again, with the repartee, you have to have a give and take. You have to push and shove. And then if you have a solo, it's almost like a monologue. You have to keep it really short.
Bill Burr, the comedian, does a lot of his show alone, and it's really good. It's really funny.
Well, then you're doing basically a monologue.
But he's a stand-up.
Right. He's honed it.
Bill Burr's great stand-up.
Pausing, you know, all that.
Did you have any more points you want to make about these kids, these crazy college kids?
No,
we kind of derailed.
We did. You derailed me because I said a word that you didn't like, or I said it wrong. But
you didn't say it wrong. You just it was cute. It was cute.
I appreciate
controversial.
That. Thank you. I think it's important to remember the spirit of what this country is founded on, which is freedom. And
you get to say whatever you want,
exactly.
As long as it doesn't hurt anybody.
Right. Right. Inciting riots or
and you know what
call for
some
for
people
harm.
So, hey, some people are offended by the flag. I'm not, but that doesn't mean that the person that's offended by the flag is wrong, because they might have something in their own family history where that flag is offensive to them. You know, if your great grandparents, you know, walked the Trail of Tears, the American flag means something very different to you than if your grandpa was at Iwo Jima or something like that. It's going to have a very different meaning. And that's the thing about, you know, symbols is they have, you know, it's all in the context and the way that you're looking at it. And, you know, I don't know any of the backstory of these kids, and I'm not trying to say, what I'm saying is I partly agree. I agree with some of what they're saying. I don't agree with the way they went about it, But that's their right, and they're Americans, and as Americans, they have the right to do that.
Right.
That and is... your go-to shouldn't always be, you need to get the hell out of here.
Yeah.
We need to get...
Like, come on, come up with something at least constructive. Yeah. At least look at their, examine their argument, really come up with something that's better than just get out. Because that's not how we do things. You know, you don't like it, we'll just leave. Wait, that's not how it works.
Yeah, we're not seven.
Right? It's, yeah. I'm taking my toys and I'm going home. No, you go home.
Yeah.
We need to be better at this. We need to be more educated and be more enlightened as far as that's what our country is about. It's you get to say what you want about whatever you want to say. Mm-hmm. And then these kids also get to say what they, and we all get to stay here.
Yeah.
You know, all get to enjoy the freedom that is this, because there's in other places, you don't get to criticize. You don't get to free think.
Nope.
You don't get to hear other people's ideas and sort of come together and
well, what scares me is when someone says something like, well, you know, in another country, you know, you could get shot for something like that, which is absolutely true. And then somebody will say, well, yeah, good. That's the way it should be. No, it shouldn't.
Right. And then why would you think that? I mean, then maybe you're in the wrong country, because yeah. That's not how it should be either. I mean, good. Why? Just for ideas? Are my ideas harming you? Are my ideas so horrific that they are causing you pain and causing yeah. your life to be different? They're just ideas. They're just thoughts. And
yeah.
if enough people get on board with my thoughts, then we have a movement. And if enough people get involved with the movement, then we have change in our society. And that is exactly what it should be. You know, but then that's the majority speaking. And we have rules and regulations where the majority does speak, and then you have rules and regulations where they protect the minority. So everyone's always getting their opinion heard, you know. So it can't be a bad thing.
Well, whatever they did, it worked, because we're talking about it,
right?
And everybody's talking about it. And you know, maybe that was their whole point along. Maybe they weren't. Maybe they're smarter than we are.
Oh, they might be. They might just be, you know, enlightened, educated.
Who knows? But yeah, I like that. You know, my knee-jerk reaction was, ugh. I was eye-rolling. I was like, ugh, freaking teenage. You know what I mean?
Right?
Freaking kids.
I don't know. I read it with a laugh. Like, but, oh, my gosh. Really, UCI? This from UCI,
yeah,
even. Not a big political campus.
Yeah, like, you would expect this.
Last year, they had Obama speak at their graduation. I got to see that. Highlight of my life, seeing Obama speak at anything live.
What are you doing? You know I have conservative listeners.
I am apologizing.
Don't apologize.
It was at UCI.
I'm just kidding. I would have expected this from, like you said, UCLA or Cal.
Right, right.
Like, you would have thought
Cal Poly Pomona. Oh my gosh, that's such the activist
you
there.
You thought they would have pulled this a long time ago. Mm-hmm. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
right?
This is something. Why did it take so long?
Right.
I'm not. I'm just
somewhere
saying.
Up in Berkeley.
Yeah,
I expected this out of Berkeley,
yeah,
or,
exactly.
or something like that.
If
but
it came out of Berkeley, you just go, oh, it's Berkeley.
Right?
Yeah.
But UCI, it just kind of, they're the anteaters, really.
Yeah,
are
Zot,
why are we so angry? It's an anteater.
Know.
He's moving slow.
Well, you know, I don't know. I don't know any of these. I didn't, you know, and that's why I don't want to really cast judgment, because I didn't look into the backgrounds of any of these. I don't know if they're foreign. I don't know if any of the kids are foreign students. I don't know if they're all born here. I don't know, but I told my friend, it's the same thing I saw whenever I see like a high-speed pursuit, and, you know, they've got the cops chasing them through like 10 counties, and you're just like, please don't be Mexican.
Or that one guy who, during the pursuit, he hotboxed the car towards the end because he was just done. But yeah, right? I mean, there's just certain things. Did you read about the two ladies from Southern California who...
Oh, they defaced the... Were they from Southern California? They said they were just from California.
Oh, I'm sorry. I think it was Southern California. I don't know if I interjected and assumed, but I think I read something that said Southern California.
I, they didn't say where in California.
I just assumed maybe, but these two ladies defaced this monument. And then, so one of my friends, when I posted it, posted back women, and I thought, because my first thought was, of course it was Southern California,
yeah,
probably like Orange County,
yeah.
as they're taking
and
selfies.
And they took a selfie. They did take
it.
A selfie.
Oh,
let's see. U.S. tourists, let's see.
It just shows you this ego that we have to place ourselves into these.
Two women from California. It didn't say where.
Look for another article.
Yeah, that was some CNN.com.
I feel like I saw it in like Channel 4 or something.
Right.
So it would be like a
oh,
local.
Oh, please, dear God. What? Oh, no. Okay, it's just two women from California, but it was from a San Francisco news site.
Right.
So I was hoping you were from the Bay Area.
Right.
No. I was really hoping they were wearing
No one from the Bay Area would do that. This is not good radio.
I know.
So.
It's not. I'll time warp it.
We're going to. So I assumed it was Southern California because I think that we in Southern California.
First of all, they make all Californians look bad.
Right.
The rest of the country hates us already. I don't know why.
I think because here in Southern California, there's a huge entitlement. Do you know who I am? Do you know how much money I make?
Let me read some of the comments. Can we not let these losers back into California? Let them back in, but build a wall around California and make it all a prison.
What?
California morons, a special breed. The same kind who voted for Jerry Brown. Take a look at L.A. Then again, the moist backs do believe that California belongs to them.
You know they weren't Mexicans.
You're an idiot. It's the beaners who have claimed it back for Mexico.
Exactly. There you go.
Let's see.
You know they weren't Latino. They were not
for sure
in Italy.
For sure they are registered Democrats. They destroy everything that they don't care. You know, like the U.S. Constitution. Jeez Louise.
Oh my gosh. Comments like that, though, really do. They kind of shock me a little bit because it just tells you how far out people are.
It always comes back. But wait, it always comes back to Obama. Ready?
Right.
Here we go.
Thanks, Obama.
What kind of moron defaces the Coliseum?
Probably for Obama.
As you know, Californians have taken a dump on their own state and nation. Why would you think they treat the Coliseum any differently? And then it says 59% of California voters voted for Obama. Jesus. He's probably, and then it says, somebody says, where's Snake Plissken because of Escape from L.A.? It says, oh, he's probably eating refried beans with Jerry Brown at a local cantina down on Alvera Street.
God dang it.
God. See, that's the great thing about the internet. It brings out the worst, and it always end up. Somehow the racists always like have the last
word.
Right?
I don't understand why, with nothing in there, nothing in that comment.
Yeah, they're all taking.
They're all taking it to the extreme. I thought Southern California because, yes, we are very egotistical, and I thought Italy because of someone very probably with a lot of money and a lot of downtime who thought, hey, I'm going to deface this Colosseum. Not deface. In their mind, they're like, I'm putting my initials, whoop, whoop, as if there were already initials there. You know what I mean? If you're looking at this thing that has so much history, and they obviously aren't they aren't feeling that history.
Yeah.
So then they're going to go ahead and put their initials on it. This is someone who has way too much time and way too much money.
It makes California look bad, but this is the reason that the rest of the world, like, you know, it's that the old say, the ugly American, because
right.
We would go to other countries and just be like, hey, don't you know I'm an American? Like, you know,
here's my initials. Look forever. But very much, I get that. And I think when we say that, we are the ugly Americans, people get really mad. And I'm sure someone's going to tell me to go to leave the country then if I don't like it. But I think we are. We are very rude about things.
Oh, we are.
Globally.
Because we're very self-absorbed. And that's okay. I mean, because we're from the greatest country on earth.
Well, there you go.
So why shouldn't we? By the way, I'm looking at the comments on like CNN and all this stuff. Not nearly as terrible.
That's nice. That's good.
Let me see. Well, those girls are in jail now.
Oh, they went to jail?
They're in jail. Yeah.
Well, because it's probably a protected.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
right?
Yeah. It's a huge. They carved a J and an N into the wall.
Oh.
So they snuck away from a tour group. And they,
what are the girls' ages? Did
it
they
doesn't say?
This is I don't, see. This isn't news to me. This is frustration to me. When you're going to give a news article, you need to give the where, what, who, that sort of thing. When you know all the W's, you're giving us that someone carved their initials in the monument. You're not giving us names. You're not giving us where they're from. You're not giving us ages, then this isn't a whole lot of news. It's almost as if we've become very satisfied with just this sensational headline stuff. You know, oh, they carved their name in the monument, and then that's it. And we're never going to hear about it again. We're going to have to go dig for it.
Here we go. You have to really dig into the...
Dig for it.
Yeah, okay. So this is thetruthrevolt.org. And
see?
Here we go. About halfway into the comment section, the visiting California, that pretty much sums it up right there. Ignorant liberals. I didn't realize they were giving passports to illegals now.
Oh, see? Wow.
Yep.
It makes me so uncomfortable.
I hope they keep them. Put them in a zoo behind a fence with a sign that says, American liberal inundated with Obama principles. There it is. Why are you surprised? Their boy Obama, their T-H-R-E, boy Obama wants his face added to Mount Rushmore. These mental midgets would look at the Grand Canyon. Mental midgets, again, does not know the difference. How to spell the possessive form of their... would look at the Grand Canyon
or know that midget is not PC.
Yeah, what a big pothole.
Wow. I love people so much that I want to squeeze them till they stop breathing. Just squeeze them in my arms. Just love them to death. But those people who think like this, they have a very extremist thinking, and you're never going to correct their thinking. And that's what's frustrating. What are you laughing at now? What did you see now?
Check this out. I don't know. I think this person is trying to, I think he's trying to make a point, but he ends up giving a backhanded compliment. There's no sign stating no carving your initials into the Coliseum, so it must be like allowed and stuff. California is becoming so expensive to live there. Pretty soon it will only be conservatives and Republicans because liberals and Democrats won't be able to afford to stay. It will change. So, wow. Yeah, some people are more like, oh, God, they're making Americans look bad.
Right.
But everybody's got to jump on California. These visiting Californians, enough said. Whatever. You know what? I will say one thing about in defense of California. At least it's not Arizona.
Ooh, yes. That's true.
Boom.
Boom, Arizona. You know what?
You know what? The rest of the country, suck it. Suck it. I'm sorry, California's liberal. Hey, you know what? I'm sorry. 1/5 of the country's agriculture comes from our state. So, you know, maybe we'll just pull that out. Why don't we secede? That'll be great.
And all this.
You guys can suck it. Suck it. Suck it. Lakers from California. Dodgers from California. All the great. You know what?
We got Disneyland. What?
Whatever. That's
the entertainment capital. What?
I'd like California just to secede. It would be great. I would just love it. I would love it if we were our own country. That would be fantastic. You know what? While we're getting rid of people, how about we get rid of people that moved to California?
Oh, right.
Get the hell out.
Yeah.
You don't like it? Move. Oh, I hate it here. I hate it where the sun is shining all the time.
It's going to be 90 this weekend. What's the weather like in the rest of the United States? I think there's snow, right?
I hate it.
90.
I hate
it. Suck this.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Warm. Right. I don't even need this sweater.
I'm so mad right now.
I got sandals.
Why did I read those comments?
My son's going to Alaska next week. It's like -20. Psst.
Why are there so many Mexicans in California? Because it used to be Mexico, jerk.
What? It did? That's not really?
So you think? So let me get this. Let me ask you this, you idiots. You think that when it became part of the United States, they just shipped everybody that lived here? Like, you're like, nope, you got to go now.
Right? Well, I wouldn't.
Why are there so many Mexicans?
I wouldn't be surprised. I mean, it's not the first time we've tried to ship people back hundreds of years later. No. We're moving things. We're changing. We got to shift up. So God, we decided no.
Bless it.
So I'm going to just need you to head south.
Listen, I understand why people are conservative. You know what I mean? I get it. I have conservative friends. I get it. But that doesn't mean you need to be ignorant.
Right.
It doesn't mean you need to be ignorant. And it doesn't mean that everybody's a liberal is like an idiot. Oh, you're an idiot. You idiot liberal. Oh, my God. I don't even want to talk about it. I'm mad. I'm so upset. Like, I'm so, because the racism always, it kills me.
Right. I don't understand why it equates to racism. Why does it always come back to that?
How does it become beaners and how does it become?
What did they say? Waterbacks? I don't get that.
Moist backs.
What?
I get it.
We're talking about Italy. Why does it come back to illegals?
Because
in
they're
Italy?
From California, so they must be illegals.
Right? Come on. Come on. As if, you know what? The brown people are working so hard. They're not taking vacations. Stop it. You know I'm right.
I took time off from my three jobs to go to
Italy. Right? Just to go to Italy.
We're not going to Italy. We're going to Cancun, maybe.
No.
Maybe Ensenada, get a lobster.
No.
When I took my vacation, where'd you go? Catalina for like a day.
Right. Went to Anaheim.
Took a Saturday off.
Yeah.
Went up to Azusa Canyon.
Went to the swap meet. I took a Sunday, a half day. Just
by the
a
way,
half day.
Also, we know they're not Mexican because they were carving.
Right?
We don't do that.
They would have had a pin.
Yeah. Sharpie.
Come on.
That's why you carry it.
That's everywhere. Right. It's
See,
on a, you can
we
that.
Can make those jokes and it's okay.
Is it okay?
Yes.
Good.
Hope those all. Oh my God. It's, you leave.
Right? But that's the thing. If you can't even get your stuff right, if you don't even know that the brown people work three or four jobs and never take vacations and aren't carving, then you're a moron. You don't even know. You're out of touch. You're out of touch with your stereotypes. You can't even get your stereotypes right because you're so out of touch.
I'm serious. I stay out of comments boards for that reason. I'm seriously so angry right now.
Sometimes I accidentally scroll down into them and I get like itchy.
I'm literally.
Because somewhere those people exist.
I've literally got the Ren Hoek from Ren and Stimpy. I've got the eye twitch going on. I'm so effing mad.
You know what's
right
unfortunate
now?
Is in the line of work that I do and. The current city that I'm working in, I hear these comments in person often. And I, you know, I'm a very vocal person and I think I flush red on a daily basis and I have to walk away because my job depends on me not screaming, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. So, yeah. Sometimes
yeah.
You have to eat it.
I don't know. I just said the F word. I apologize.
Yeah. I've had people say, I call people. I'm
right.
Just.
You can edit it out.
No, it's fine.
Okay.
Well, let's take a break before I murder somebody. And when we come back, we're going to hit our weekly checkup. Boy, we're all over the map today.
We are. We road tripping it.
Let's go into something happy.
Right, so Star Trek.
In the future where everybody can get along on a starship,
where
people of all colors and creeds.
Where women and people of color helm the ship.
Yeah, that's right.
That's right.
That's right.
All over that bad boy in cute skirts and kicky boots.
Kicky boots. We'll talk about it when we come right back after the break. That was not a sentence.
Anything from the landing party?
They should be sending up a report momentarily, Captain. Oh. Something wrong?
A kink in my back. That's it. A little higher, please. Push hard. Take it in there, Mr. Thank you, Yeoman. That's sufficient.
Best scene ever from that.
Oh. That was so. We had a little mix-up. That was the scene from this week's episode of Weekly Check. It's a shore leave. And I accidentally told Rebecca to watch the wrong episode. So she watched one that we've already covered called Balance of Terror. But I want to talk to you about it anyway. And then we're going to talk about Shore Leave. And then what I'll do is I'll have the next guest. We'll talk about Shore Leave again.
I watched Shore Leave too. I just watched a lot of Star Trek.
But I wanted you to – it was supposed to be Shore Leave and one called the Galileo 7, which would have been perfect because Leonard Nimoy died last week, and that's a very Spock-heavy episode.
Ooh.
But
I saw that one, and I almost watched it.
Yeah.
But your texts were confusing, to be fair.
I accidentally – you should always go with the last thing I texted. Unless,
is that true?
Yeah, always. That's the most accurate.
Okay.
And the
see, because I went with the first.
Well, you didn't, obviously, because you watched an episode that wasn't even on. So I'm going to kind of put the main blame back on you.
To be fair, I have ADHD, and sometimes I read my text really quick. Mm-hmm. And so what you wrote was season one, and I just saw season, and then one, and then 15, 16. So this is what I watch. But I also watch the pilot, because if you look on Netflix, Netflix lists the pilot as one.
Mm-hmm.
And so I watched the pilot. I watched number one, and then I watched 16.
What was it like watching the pilot? Like, let's go back.
And... So I watched the pilot, and the pilot.
Time out.
Yeah.
Before we answer anything, what was your experience watching Star Trek before this? Did you have?
So I watched it a little bit on and off as a kid, and I watched, you know, the ones with Joss Whedon later on and Whoopi Goldberg and those, but never as a regular. And also I'm old, so I don't remember. Like, I remember the essence and the very depth and breadth of the characters, but I don't remember specifics. So I was surprised by a lot of things, and I'm probably going to get hooked on this and now start watching them. So thank you for adding that to my list of things.
Well, it's three seasons, so you can crank it out.
Right. Oh, that's good, because some of these shows that I've started are like 9 seasons long.
Mm-hmm.
And some I'm giving up on, but I want to get through them because I want to complete these things. But yeah, so I had seen them, and for whatever reason, I think my grandmother, my Nana, must have watched them, because I connect Star Trek with her.
Oh, what a hip lady.
Right? I feel like when I stayed at her house, she would watch it. And that's when TV was live and you didn't record anything. So I feel like these were part of her shows.
Okay.
So.
I like that. And so so watching the pilot, what were you – because the pilot's very different from them.
It is so different. And there were a couple of things that cracked me up. Like, he's thrown off by the – there's a woman – he's really upset because his yeoman is a female, and he's very upset about her being there. And I'm like, this is supposed to be the future, and I get that it's 1966, but he's so upset about her being there.
Was that in the pilot?
That's in the pilot. And then his number one
is a woman.
Is a woman, and he discounts her as being a woman because, you know, she's not very womany, I guess.
That was we brought that up on the show. The reason she got that part is Majel Barrett, who went on. In the regular show, she became the nurse, Nurse Chapel, but that was Gene Roddenberry's mistress.
Oh.
So he was like...
I like
so
that.
So that's how she got that number one. And then...
But she fit it well. So I don't think... You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
She fit that part
She would
well.
Have been the first... Had they gone on, had that episode, that version of the show gone to series, she would have been like a major character.
And I feel like that worked. So from the pilot to the series, they made a lot of changes, not just costuming and setting, because that all looks very thrown together, which pilots a lot of times are.
Yeah.
They're just to show, look, this is the idea we're thinking of, and then a lot of things change. So like characters will change. So apparently that the character they had for the captain, he didn't work or didn't have a strong presence, whatever feedback.
Oh, no, it worked. Jeffrey Hunter was actually a movie star. He had done movies. He was like in The Searchers with John Wayne. And he actually played Jesus in The King of Kings.
Oh.
But he was, you know, kind of like in between jobs, and he was going to pick it up. But it took so long to get the series going that he had already moved on.
Oh, really? Do you know what the difference between when they did the pilot and between?
Well, they actually shot a second pilot a year later.
Oh, really?
And that one ends up being, because Netflix is showing them in order that they were aired on television.
Right.
And because it needed, you had to have special effects and stuff done, and there were like a lot of special effects, they would have to send the film out to have the special effects done and added in. So they would literally, the first like 10 shows, I think, are completely out of order because they were waiting for effects to come back from the lab.
Oh.
And then they're trying to edit the show together.
Right.
So they were literally going with what they had ready to go.
So do you... As somebody who's going through and watching, do they make sense then?
Well, because there's not a lot of continuity from week to week, as far as you never hear him say, hey, we just left this planet.
Okay.
But what you do get is continuity of the characters.
That's what I was going to say, the character building.
Yeah, so Spock is always, like, you learn a little bit more about Spock as you go.
Right.
But it's kind of interchangeable when you get it, like later on.
It doesn't make a big difference.
You learn more about the
Vulcans.
Because
that's my problem with dropping in on shows, is you don't get the whole
the 60s
richness of a
60s
character.
The 60s weren't really serialized yet. Like now, it's all, everything's like a soap opera.
Right.
It's a continuing story. So you can't just drop in the middle of Breaking Bad, like 2 seasons in, and pick up, you know. I mean, you could.
You could, but you're going to miss a lot.
You're missing a lot of backstory. These were more like, these were meant to be like
complete
somebody.
And whole.
Yeah, if you had never watched the show, you might have some questions, but it's not going to ruin your idea of, and if anything, you're going to want to watch the show to figure out why. Right. Why does Spock act like that? Why does, right. you know? So aside from some stuff, and it mostly concerns Spock, really, or like the way that some of the ship runs and stuff like that. It's really, you could just pick up an episode and watch it, and you'll get by, which is why it's not a problem for me to have different people watch the show.
Them. But you know that I'm OCD, so I like to watch and, mm-hmm. and have complete knowledge. Well, I'm glad
you
watched
the pilot, because that's, and then if you want to do something interesting, watch, if you go back on Netflix, watch a two-part one called The Menagerie.
Okay.
Because what happened was the pilot was expensive and they never aired it as a complete pilot. But what they did was they shot another show around it with Captain Kirk.
Mm-hmm.
And what ends up happening, and that's, we just reviewed it.
I feel like I've seen The Menagerie.
Yeah. Captain Pike, Spock, Captain Pike gets hurt in an accident.
Right.
And he's like totally disfigured, which is what they, because they couldn't get Jeffrey Hunter back.
Oh, so they use someone else.
They use someone
the
else.
The old switcheroo.
The old switcheroo. They put makeup
Gosh,
on
they
him.
They did that a lot in the 60s and 70s.
Well, like, I'm Bewitched when the husband just one day
full character gone, dude. And they don't mention it. They don't try and cover it in any way. Just here he is.
Different dude.
I love it. So. Have you seen spoofs on that? It's hilarious. If you look on YouTube, they do spoofs, and the character they replace him with are completely different.
So
like,
awesome.
Just
so what happens is they tell the story of the menagerie because Spock's trying to get him back to that planet because
right.
you know, if anything you can imagine, they, you know, they're doing
right.
That. So since he's disfigured, they want him to, because remember at the end of the episode, the woman's disfigured.
Right.
It turns out that
and they said, can you make her beautiful
yeah.
and
so
give her everything
Spock's
that she
trying
wants.
To get him back there so he can kind of be free.
Right.
Because he's basically a vegetable living in like this chair.
Okay.
And so they go back and like with, like they have all this footage that, I don't know how, but they have footage. And so they go back and they show the scenes of the, so they basically retell the story of the menagerie, and Kirk and everybody else is watching during this court martial of Spock.
Oh.
And so that's how they were able to reuse the, and save the money, because we already have a complete show. Now we just have to shoot these
extra scenes.
Yeah. So basically we'll shoot a half an episode, and then we have two episodes. So we'll make it a two-parter and we'll stretch that out.
Smart.
Because Star Trek was constant. It was a constant battle with money.
Oh, I'm sure. Because
show. It wasn't a cheap show
no,
to produce.
Because looking at it now, you think, oh, this is so cheesy, but for the effects and for things to look the way they did.
And it was shot in color. This is at a time when
right.
when stuff was not done in color. And that's why everything's very super primary.
Right.
Bright reds and, you know, that blue and, you know, the ship is very bright.
I don't know if you've noticed, but a number of their actors and actresses have these like glowing blue eyes. And it's
yeah.
like a theme where they got just these gorgeous people.
Yeah,
with...
everybody's in – all the women are like soft focus.
Yes.
And then like, and especially in Shore Leave, you know, it's, I think they shot it at the Arboretum, maybe. I forgot to look. But, you know, they made a real nice use of, like, the lake and the grass and everything looks, the sky is super blue.
Right.
And, you know.
It's gorgeous. I mean, for being in the 60s, the late 60s,
yeah.
the color was great. And a lot of the TV that they were watching then was, you know, black and white because nobody had color.
Yeah, nobody, very few people had color at the time. Yeah.
Right.
But, yeah, so I'm glad you went back and watched it because that kind of gives you some context, because by the time you get to Shore Leave, the show's kind of established already. And so Spock looks different than he does in Shore Leave or in the pilot. He looks really weird.
Right. He had eyebrows glued on. It was so cute. You could see some – and it was – the pilot's really hastily put together. So, like, the sweaters they're wearing are very loose. And,
yeah.
And I was like, this is so jank. And then, you know, even the theme song is
– Yeah, they got yeah.
Really funny kind of stuff. But then they pull it – for when they get the show going, you can see that the budget obviously increased.
If you want to see the second pilot, it's called I think it's called Where No Man Has Gone Before.
Okay.
And it's about these – they go to a planet and this guy gets like godlike powers and then he becomes like out of control and Kirk has – but that's the second pilot. The first pilot they rejected because they said that it was – I think the note was it was too cerebral. Like people aren't going to get this.
Oh, really?
People aren't going to get this. Maybe those California liberals will get this. But
Midwestern corn-fed.
But these Midwestern
– they're not going to be down on this.
Someone who uses the term moist back is never going to get this.
There's a color female on there.
Yeah.
They're not
colored.
Oh, there's a Asian man
colored.
On there.
They didn't say Asian. They would have said Oriental.
I tried to make it so nice.
They
would have
said Oriental. Or Chinaman. Why is
China.
The Chinaman? Jeez Louise, you guys. Oh,
Right? Oriental's the worst term. Oh my gosh.
This ties exactly into what we're talking about. Why people have a problem, what the flag represents. I'm telling you guys.
Right.
They're not, I'm not saying I agree, but I'm not saying I disagree. I'm just saying people are people, so why should it be? Huh? You and I should get along so awfully. Anyway.
I enjoyed that song.
A little Depeche Mode. Little salute to my cousin Peter.
I love Depeche Mode.
Me, not so much. But anyway.
All right.
We're going to get back to our show. So we'll skip ahead to Shore Leave.
Right. Which is great. I loved it.
So Shore Leave, from what you heard, everybody, there's a lot of tension on the ship.
Well.
We've been through some stuff.
Right. You know? How long have we been on the ship? We've probably been with the same people and just seen. You know how it is when you work with people. Yeah. And then there's that frustration, the sexual tension. Sometimes you release it. Sometimes you don't.
You're in space. You can't go anywhere.
You're just stuck seeing the same faces. Mm-hmm. And then that gets to the point where you're like, how loud are you going to eat that Cheerio? You know what I mean? If you eat one more Cheerio, I'm going to rip your face off. That's what happens. And you can see it definitely happening when he's getting his back rub. He was tense.
What did he say? Get in there.
Push it harder.
Good old Shatner. Let me ask you this. What did you think of seeing Shatner so young?
So I'm going to be really honest. It took me a couple minutes to place the actors whose names I've heard for years and who I recognize now. And from the movies, when they did the movies later, they were much older.
Yeah.
It took me a minute because I was like, well, when's this character going to show up? And then I'm like, oh, no, it's him. Damn. You know what I mean? Like, he looks so different. And also, I think going back and watching them, there's this Shatner, we have this very caricatured way of
that's
how
a controversial way to say that that word.
Why are you gonna make me laugh so hard? I can't even talk. So the word that Mario said,
caricatured.
Yeah, there's some words I can't say. So
okay. Well, because you're a moist back from liberal California, you Democrat. God, they're so stupid. Those things are so stupid.
It's because my education was so liberated. I learned about hippie stuff.
I was a libtard. That's my
oh
one.
My god.
Those libtards. Oh, that doesn't even make sense.
That means your liberation is retarded.
I don't
stunted.
Even understand. I don't even understand.
So what was I saying?
You were talking about Shatner.
Shatner. Oh, so the way we consider his acting to be so over the top.
Yeah.
It's not. He's very fluid. He's very
he has a certain delivery. It's like a staccato, very.
But I don't even think it's that pronounced. Maybe later it becomes more pronounced.
It does. And I've explained this. But I'll say it for your benefit. I'm reading a book called These Are the Voyages, and it's awesome because it goes into all of this great detail. And they talk about, you know, when Jeffrey Hunter left, they were in a lurch. They didn't know what to do. And when they got Shatner at the time was considered a very prestigious actor because he would do like these important TV shows. Like he was on Twilight Zone. He had done like all those. He'd done all like all those like craft presents, like it'd be like these 60-minute like. I think like GE Playhouse would do like they would do plays, but they would do them as like on TV. It'd be like Death of a Salesman or something. And Shatner had all this formal stage training. He'd been in like Judgment at Nuremberg, like a lot of big movies. And so he was kind of considered like, hey, we got this guy. And he was a stage actor. He was like, so he's very big and very broad.
Right. Stage and acting is so different from screen acting.
And they didn't need, they were... TV was moving towards a more naturalistic, like, we're just going to kind of play it down and play it low. And Shatner's, like, on that cusp of people that were still playing things kind of big.
Well, too, it's the difference between being a silent film star and later when you see the talkies. Because with the silent, you had to sort of overreach with it. Almost like the same way you would on the stage because there weren't words. So your face and your body language had to be everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And in a theater, when you're really acting to the far reaches, it's not just your voice that has to carry, but your body has to carry.
Everything.
And so I think it is difficult for an actor to cross between. And then when someone's successful at it.
There's actors who can pull it off.
Right,
If you ever watch, they're not on Netflix anymore, but I always recommend the best ever Sherlock Holmes series was this one that was done in the 80s with an actor named Jeremy Brett. And Jeremy Brett was best known before that for, he was Freddie in My Fair Lady. So he was the guy that was in love with Audrey Hepburn, and he sang On the Street Where You Live, and he's super young and really good looking. So by the time the 80s rolled around, he's like a middle-aged guy, but very lean, and he plays it like super theatrically. But Sherlock Holmes was such an eccentric character anyway that it works.
Right.
Because he's being very dramatic and he's being very...
Almost
like
a Doctor Who.
Sherlock Holmes, when you read the stories, he's very theatrical. And like he likes to... Like when he's about to reveal like how he figured it out, he wants the people to like think that he's smart. You know, he's kind of vain in a way, in that way. And so it works perfectly. So when you watch him, he's doing all of these really big, like stage, like he'll do these flourishes and stuff, and anywhere else it would look ridiculous. But as Sherlock Holmes, it works perfectly. And I like the Sherlock series and all that, but I don't think anybody has come close to being, for me, he really nailed the character.
Right, because they play it too safe.
Yeah, Cumberbatch is really good, but I think it's because it's a more modern setting. You have to kind of be, you kind of play him like bipolar, and which the character kind of was.
Right.
You know, he's cocaine addict, you know, but...
Up, down.
Yeah, but Jeremy Brett really did a good job. And if you ever get a chance to see any of them, they're fantastic. And he's really funny. But he's like when you... So Shatner does it sometimes. And it just kind of comes off... It's kind of weird because he's playing like really... He's playing to the rafters, like you said. He's playing to the balcony. But it works for the show. It works. That's what you need for that kind of like...
Right. I like him in it. And I don't think it's nearly as campy as our...
There are a few.
Are there some?
There are a few where he gets... I mean, you'll see. When he has to like... What you should do is, if you get a chance... Go back and watch like all of them up to, because there's already been a couple where they've thrown him in like this thing where there's like a double Captain Kirk, and like the other Captain Kirk is like, it's basically his id that is taken over.
Right.
Oh my God. It is like prime Shatner.
Okay.
Awesome.
I'm going to watch them all now because I'm hooked and I can't just drop in and out of series like that. So I can't start the other Sherlock Holmes because I have this
Wait until, what you should do is follow along because we're doing the show. So for the next, that's what I'm saying. Like,
I'm gonna have to binge watch, is what it's gonna be.
Well, just watch two at a time, and then like listen, and you can like compare notes to like what you got on. You know. So did you take some notes on Shirley?
I just took to make sure I got the characters right. No, I didn't take any notes on Shirley. How about that? I took notes on the other ones, but I just want to make sure I got the characters' names right, and then I watched Shirley. Just watched it.
And so what did you think?
I really liked it. Yeah. I thought it was really cool that we got to see kind of the first scene where he's shooting the gun. You almost get to see these people as people.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
George Takei.
Yeah.
Isn't it funny to see George Takei now, who you know is like this kind of pop culture.
Yes.
But he's super young. And like, you know.
He's huge now and an activist. And there he is. So young.
So young. Super young. And he's shooting it's a police special, Captain. And it's like, it fires lead pellets. And he's so excited about it.
Right. He's like a little boy. He's 9. And so you see this excitement that is separate, because usually when they go down when they go onto different planets or things are happening, it's all work
so
you really get to see them playing, you get to see them as these human beings, and so it kind of gives a depth to the show and to the characters that you may not have had before, which is, I think, interesting. It's almost like seeing your teachers outside of...
Oh, that's great. That's a great analogy. Yeah, because you get to see them. You get to see, because they're smiling more.
Right. And they're free. And you can... Their body language is different. Their language is different.
And Bones is kind of a ladies' man.
Right. Well, we knew that, didn't we?
They don't call him Bones for nothing. Hey.
Slide whistle.
You get to see Bones very relaxed. He's always kind of uptight.
Right.
And not uptight, but he has more fun at the expense of...
Look, he's all about the business.
Well, he has more fun at the expense of Spock all the time. It's always him and Spock are like a married couple going at it. Because that's like, when you watch more of the shows, you'll find that it's Kirk, Spock, and Bones. And like, it's Kirk in the middle, and Spock represents like the logic and the brain, and... Dr. McCoy represents the passion, the human heart. And they really kind of play that later on, where like, if Kirk has to make a decision, those are kind of the two that have his ear, and Kirk has to decide, am I going to go with, you know.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Do I go logic? I do go with my heart.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's always, he always finds a way.
Words to. Words up, lady. Don't go with your heart.
Hey, I'm just telling you. Captain Kirk finds a way to drop kick his way out of it. So he ends up going with a fist more often than not.
Right. Yeah. He disregards both.
Yeah, yeah. I'm going to punch this guy. Oh, you get to see him do an extended like fight scene with, speaking of Irishmen, speaking of what was the guy's name?
And
it's such a typical Irish name.
I know. And I didn't write that one down, but. Right?
Finnegan? Is it Finnegan?
I think it's Finnegan.
Is it Finnegan?
And is he on all of them? Because
hey, Jimmy Boy. No, it's just that he's in that one. Yeah.
Yeah, I didn't know someone. And all of a sudden, I'm like, where'd this Irish guy come from?
Because it was his. And then Captain Kirk. Here's one thing I want to bring up. So this is like one where you get a little bit of a. And they kind of alluded to it in a couple of other episodes where Kirk had a love, but the Enterprise is always his main lady, you know.
Right.
And so he's given everything up for his career. But then in this one, you get to see a woman named Ruth, as Kirk says it. Kirk apparently in love with an 80s televangelist. Like,
and that is a really...
She looks like a really...
And that's the name of an 80s televangelist.
She looks like Ruth. An 80s televangelist.
I bet her middle name's Anne. Ruth Ann.
She looks like an 80s television. And you can't tell if she's 20 or 65.
But I was going to say that about all the actors and actresses on this show. So they could be anywhere from 20 to 55.
Well.
Because there's just a very, very look about the 60s where the hair is tight. Mm-hmm. Just tight.
Yeah.
No matter what.
It's still an early. It's still in there. They're not quite into the 60s yet.
Right.
They're about to hit. And so by the end of the show, you'll see Captain Kirk has like puffier hair. And right. Some sideburns going on. Yeah, but they're still kind of in that. We're coming out of the 50s and we're still kind of, we're adults.
Right.
So we're not going to have the longer hair. In season 2, Chekhov shows up and he's got kind of the Beatles haircut.
Oh.
You'll see him show up in season 2 and him and George Takei end up always on the... George Takei is driving and then Chekhov is always running like the weapons and stuff.
What I love though is the ladies are proper ladies. They all have lovely shapes about them. And
is a time when you could be curvy and it was okay.
I love the curviness. I love the outfits that showed the ladies. And
not to get misogynistic about it, but there's something great about looking at like a full figured woman of color. It like sitting back there showing some leg. You're like,
right. But I wouldn't even have said she was full figured.
She's a woman.
She's a woman. And I think that's how, you know, I saw one scene where they showed a close up of her and you could see like underwear lines. And I thought, you go girl. Not, you know what I mean? Just like, she's got underwear on and everything. Because like nowadays, ladies are like, I'm not even going to wear underwear because that's going to add like inch or, you know, a centimeter to myself. So we're just in our tightness and their outfits are highlighting their shape without making them overly sexualized.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure for that time it was pretty.
Well, they are wearing mini skirts.
Right. I mean, everyone was wearing mini skirts.
Girls do wear mini skirts. But the most shocking thing to me was the fact that, for lack of a better term, the Don Juan character, quote unquote, I would say ravages the young lady and they're just kind of okay with it. Like, oh yeah.
Well, those ladies wanted to be ravaged.
Yeah, right.
Just kidding. Yeah, oh my gosh.
No, but that was.
But that was the sentiment.
But and you said, even though it's the 60s.
Yes.
It was kind of like, well,
right. You're a lady out here and you're wearing these.
It was basically like you liked it.
Right.
Like, that's basically
that was the whole sentiment of what sexuality was. Yeah. Is
like we still it's
ladies not... wanted to be demure, so they didn't want it. They needed to be taken. They needed to be ravaged because no proper lady actually thought about sex.
They're just kind of like okay with it. Like,
but Uhura, in some of the episodes, she's the one. They allude to her like being real, like, hey, what's up? You know what I mean? And I just thought that was interesting. That she's the one female that they're kind of okay being a little more sexual than the other females. But yeah, I definitely the sentiment of the 60s, which is funny to watch now. With our mentality and how we view things is still that very, very male-centric viewpoint.
Yeah, the show is not – it's making progress.
Right.
But it's not as progressive as you kind of want it to be.
Right.
You know what I mean?
For all the applause, you're still like, there's a moment where you're like, ooh.
Yeah, there's a lot of sexism in Star Trek. Watching it again, you're like, oh, yep, we're still in the 60s.
Right.
Like, we're making progress. Like, Uhura's running that. I mean, she's running that communications board. But it's still kind of like there's a long way to go.
For sure.
But the one great thing about it is, the one thing I like is that the question of someone's color, I don't think ever comes up. And if anything, they use Spock as like, if it's going to come up, they use Spock as kind of like the metaphor.
Right.
For another race.
Do you think that the writers were doing that intentionally?
Well,
Kind of pushing things?
I think they were, because apparently Nichelle Nichols was also on Gene Roddenberry's list of...
of ladies?
Yeah.
Well, she was hot. So.
Yeah, she was. She's really... she was very attractive. And obviously, Roddenberry was a racist.
Right.
Because, you know... But he really pushed to have her, like... there's a great story about... Because I don't want to just make it... That sounds so unseemly, because... You know, she's like a person. She's a living, breathing right. person. There's a great story about her wanting to quit the show. And she had occasion to meet Martin Luther King. And she was like, because she's like, you know, I'm basically a glorified PBX operator. I'm just sitting here just saying, oh, I can't clear up the channel, whatever. And Martin Luther King was like, you know, I just want you to know it's very important that people see you like on the show. And, you know, you're doing, like, you know, it's something amazing that you're doing, because people can look up and say, look. Like,
right. There's, you know, like, a female,
yeah, like
black woman
yeah.
up there on TV.
Yeah.
And I can identify with that.
You know, and it was like a thing where, like, we are part of the future. And, like, you're proof that we will be part of this
right.
this country's future. And so after that, she was like, well, now I can't quit, you know.
Right.
But she had thought about just kind of like, this is kind of a thankless role. And she kind of wanted more to do. But that was something that all of the secondary characters would kind of struggle with throughout the run of the show, where it really became Shatner, Spock, and Bones. Like that, when that kind of formed.
Right, that boys club.
Yeah, but it kind of like, it became all, it was easy to write because, like I said, it became
right.
that trinity. And so that was what they wanted to go with. And so you had recurring characters like Scotty and Uhura and Chekhov and Sulu, but they weren't quite as...
But I think that's just indicative of that time. I think maybe it wouldn't have worked any other way, you know, because things were changing, but they weren't changing very fast. And if you had a woman in second command, maybe people wouldn't have been so keen on it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But it's almost like there's a term in psychology where we get you comfortable with something you're not comfortable with in slow increments. So if you have a fear of something, a phobia of something, we get you...
What is that called?
I forget the term. I'd have
nice
to
work.
Look it up later. But somebody out there, shout it out.
It is acclimatization.
There you go.
Is that what it is?
I think that's what it is.
You're welcome.
So like, we show you a picture of it, then, you know, we show you a picture for it longer, then we get the real thing. So people really were still, and look, are afraid of women in power, people of minority doing things, being intelligent, being human. And so if we're showing them in roles where they are visible but not putting them right in your face, you're going to watch that show. And it's going to be in your – sort of on your radar of those people exist. Those people are there. Those
yeah.
people are, you know, a part of our fabric. And it's going – oh, sorry.
Whoa.
You just hit the microphone.
You're getting really ethnic with your – sorry. With your – with your gestures.
I got so upset. But it allowed people to become comfortable with something that may have been too uncomfortable had we just shoved it
yeah.
in the face.
And I guess because it's in a, you're doing it in like a science fiction
right. era. Future. This is the future. We're yeah. not ready for it just yeah. yet, but yeah. it's the future.
Don't worry, guys. It's still segregated here.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
So the white man's still in charge thousands of years in the future.
That's so true. It's still a white
right?
guy in charge.
It's still a white guy in
still
charge.
Still a white guy in charge. Well, at least he's Canadian. There's some progress.
Get out of this country.
That's,
no,
what I that's what I loved about Battlestar Galactica was Edward James Olmos. I'm like, finally a Mexican in charge. He was from another planet. It wasn't technically Mexican,
right.
but it's okay.
They wouldn't allow. Yeah. No, we got to make him from another
it's
planet.
Time for my, I always end up doing my Edward James Olmos through. But I can do an Edward James Olmos impersonation, but I can only do it through Battlestar. I can't do like a stand and deliver.
Right.
You know, like American Me. I got to do. I'm not going to do it.
Okay, well, I was looking at you like you were going to do it.
I'm not
going
to do it, but when I do it, I do that. Yeah, I'm not going to do it.
Okay.
So the whole idea behind Shirley was everybody on Enterprise needs a break, so they go down to this. They scan this planet. There's no life forms. Nothing. McCoy goes down and sees a rabbit being chased by a little girl who looks like the Disney version of Alice in Wonderland.
Right. A very British
little girl. So now all this strange stuff, McCoy finds a pistol. Basically, anything people start thinking of starts happening.
Right. Why do you think that he was thinking of Alice in Wonderland?
Maybe it was just, to show that he was like a... Maybe because the place was kind of a wonderland.
Okay.
Or, it was his favorite book.
Okay.
And what ends up happening is you find out at the end of the show that there's these aliens that have created this planet as like a pleasure planet. And it'll basically, anything that you can imagine will come true.
Right. Is that a theme throughout Star Trek? The anything you can imagine, anything that you want, that sort of...
I wouldn't say that's a theme, but I think this runs into a theme where the part of the theme is kind of acclimating yourself to other cultures and how things are different. People have different ideas. And so when they get to the planet, it's the idea that... this race was basically magnanimous in that they would accept anyone to come down there and be like, have a nice time. We'll show you. This is what we do. We bring pleasure to people, and that's what they were all about. Obviously they're going to run into some races later on that maybe that's kind of opposite of what they do. But it's always like a lot of the shows are always like taking that hour to figure out what makes another civilization or culture tick,
Right. And there is a lot of that.
Yeah, this one you really didn't get to because you didn't know any. You just kept seeing that weird,
right?
That weird little radar antenna kind of watching everybody. But there's that one scene that cracks me up where it's kind of a long shot where Spock, it's Bones and Kirk, and somebody else. I think it's the girl. Oh, it's when you hear the first gunshot. And I forgot they're looking at the tracks, and they're kind of in like a glade, and you hear the first gunshot, and Shatner just takes off running, and it's like this long tracking shot of Shatner like running through the park, wherever they are. But I'm like, man, look at Shatner go! He's in shape, He's like he's sprinting, He's jamming, like he's running with his gun, and that weird Shatner. Everything he does is kind of like choppy, but he's even the way he runs, because he's not a tall guy either. But, there's a lot of really good shots in it. It was really well done. A little sexist, Bones has that great line where she's talking about, like, this would be a great place for a princess or a fairy, a storybook or whatever. Right. And there's, like, a dress hanging there, so she goes to change. And she's like, don't peek. And he's like, I'm a doctor. When I peek, it's always in the, it's, what is it? He's like, when I peek, it's always in the name of duty or something right. like that. Wow, that's the way to abuse your power there, to Bones.
When I peek, it's always in the name of... what does he say?
In the line of duty.
In the line of duty.
Yeah.
Which is, right? Ooh, creepy doctor.
Yeah, it's my booty to... It's my duty to peep at that booty. He might as well just have said that. So you find out that it was a really nice... That's really unusual for a Star Trek that like somebody wasn't out to do them harm
right.
the whole time.
And that's what I kept expecting.
Yeah.
So...
Because you have the thing with the airplane and then...
Right. I think a lot of the episode, I was just sitting there waiting for that nefarious plot twist to happen. Yeah. Because a lot of them are like that.
Yeah.
Speaking
of sexists, at the very end, when they think...
I told you I didn't see the very end.
Oh, you didn't see the very end?
So tell me, yeah.
Well, at the very end, did you see the part where Bones dies jousting the Black Knight?
No.
So he like tries to joust the Black Knight.
So that would have...
So he dies and they find out that the Black Knight, because I think he shoots the Black Knight, and the Black Knight, it turns out it's not a dummy, but it's made from the same material that the whole planet is made of. So the whole planet is basically made out of like this plastic, like plasta form. So he's like, yeah, everybody's very much alive because the girl got killed too. There's the one Mexican dude on the planet. Thank you, Rodriguez. It's great to hear Shatner say Rodriguez.
Rodriguez.
And they're like,
I love it.
He's got a white girl. High five, bro. Like high five for him. Every time we get one of theirs, we win.
I was just going to say something about getting the white girl.
Come on.
It's just.
That's what we do. Don't be jealous.
How do you think the Latinas feel about that?
Well, you know what? If they...
That's why Latinas hate me so much. Sorry, yeah. Latinas, you do. You hate me.
You're half.
I know. They hate me even more. My whole life, they've hated me.
Why?
I probably because I represent, you know, the white girl getting the Latino.
But the Mexican girl's getting them too.
The Mexican girls are getting Latinos?
No, well, it's all in one. So it's like both sides.
I don't think they saw it that way. Anyway, derailed the conversation.
So anyway, what ends up happening is you know, they're like, your friends aren't dead, Captain. They're very much alive. So they come out and Bones comes out with like these two, like basically strippers, like 60s burlesque dancers. And he's like, oh, they were dancers on some planet. And he's like, I've never forgotten them. He's like, I think about them often or something. And they're just on his arms, you know, just like. And then here comes the 80s televangelist for Kirk.
And they all get women at the end.
Yeah. And
reward.
Then, well, Spock gets one too, but he's like, no thanks. He's like, I've had enough. And he just goes back to the ship. It's great. It's great. It's a good one. It's a good one because you get to see them kind of, like you said, it's like seeing your teachers like outside of work. That's a great way to put it. But this episode was written by Theodore Sturgeon, who was a very respected science fiction writer. And so this was kind of like a thing where they were going to, this would like, Roddenberry was really trying to get a lot of good writers for the show.
That's what I was going
to
say, is the writers weren't always the same.
Yeah, they always had different writers every week. So that's why the show's kind of uneven.
Right.
Because, you know, some ideas are better than others.
Right. Why do you keep, you're burping.
No, I'm not. I was yawning and then it turned into like a thing where...
But you were making a weird face. I was scared.
I was yawning and it got stuck.
I didn't know I needed to jump over.
I got like air caught with
rescue you. Yeah, it's hard because there's a part of me that really likes the idea of bringing in different writers and getting their take. There's been several things that I've watched that different writers have come in and you can see...
You know who's writing which episodes.
Right, yeah, right. You can see their
personality. They write the characters a certain way, mm-hmm. Yeah.
And so that's always fascinating. But at the same time, there, like you said, there is sometimes a lack of continuity.
Yeah. This was episodic. They were kind of willing to take that chance. But the big problem that they had was Roddenberry would rewrite a lot of the writers. And a lot of them would be like, who are you to rewrite me?
Exactly.
So it caused a lot of friction. And that more than anything Roddenberry ended up getting the show canceled more than anything else. It was Roddenberry arguing with NBC and arguing with writers and arguing. So
I always am fascinated by things like that. People who derail themselves because of, what do you think it was? Do you think he honestly in his heart thought, I know better?
He did. His argument was, Theodore Sturgeon can write this episode, but he doesn't know what I'm trying to do with Spock and Kirk and all
right,
this. So
right.
I'm going to take it. And so he would basically, and then his thing was, he would always try to get them to rewrite for free because they would get a certain amount of rewrites, and he was always trying to get them to, you know, because again, they're always under. So he burned a lot of bridges while he was there.
But wouldn't it have been better if he was going to have people write for him, have them write like every other, so that he could sort of redirect in the interim?
He wanted to, and then he had a lot of he ended up getting a lot of NBC would send producers. Gene L. Kuhn was the executive producer on this one. And he had a good run on the show, but it was always those people were there to kind of be mediators between the network and Roddenberry, and Roddenberry was hard to handle. And finally, he just became such a headache that they just didn't want to do the show anymore.
Right.
They canceled it, and I think a lot of it on his part, and from what I've read, he was just he had no lack of ego. He was a smart guy. He was a sharp guy. He created the show. He was a good writer, but he had a certain ego, and it rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. But the flip side of that is he brought. I mean, we're still talking about Star Trek.
Right, and I didn't realize there were only three seasons.
In the original.
Yeah. It's like I thought there were just tons because we talk about it so much. Are so cemented in our...
But it went into syndication, and after that, that's really where it found a bigger audience. And there was a run there until I don't think it went off of the... I think the original series was on, it was always on the air somewhere. Until very recently when the advent of Netflix and stuff when they started.
That's crazy.
But it was always, because you would always see it on late at night. It would always be on,
And in other languages?
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
The other people are watching Star Trek.
Sure, all over the world.
Love it.
Huge. I mean, Klingon is a recognized language. Like, it's crazy.
It's
crazy. All right, well, we're going to wrap it up because you have to go. I just looked at your...
Okay. You looked at my watch?
Well, I looked at my watch. And we're way over to this segment. We went way over because we
always go over.
Because you talk a lot.
I have a lot to say.
Well, it needed to be said.
Right. Well, there were some important bits in there.
Well, okay, libtard. Is there anything else you want to...
I want a tank top that says that. I want to bedazzle it. I'm going to put the flag behind it and everything. Take that. Suck it, people. I'm going to put the flag on it. Can't take this symbol from me.
You can wear that everywhere except UC Irvine. All right. Well, okay. Well, Rebecca, it's always a pleasure to have you here.
It's always a pleasure to be here.
Please watch. Did you like Balance of Terror before we go?
I did. I liked Balance of Terror. I love that pilot. Watch that pilot. Do the Netflix. Compare the pilot to then when they get going, yeah. And you will just roll.
That salt vampire.
Oh my gosh, it's so good.
That salt vampire, man. That ugly thing. It's like that one quick shot is like,
right.
Yuck. All right. So for the lovely Rebecca St. Clair, for Renee Bravo and everybody here at Undercity, all the guests outside, and for my friends and family.
Where is this going? I'm going to start playing the music
for the late Leonard Nimoy.
I really feel like we should have highlighted that more.
We talked about that last week. Was it like watching him now? Are you kind of bummed that he...
No, I think watching him now, I'm even... more gratitude is the wrong word, but I'm even more enamored with him.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It's hard to pull off a character like that because he's playing someone who can very restricted emotions.
And, right.
But he makes it
without
work.
Making it stoic or stiff, mm-hmm. or later on the second ones, who was the blue guy? People are going to get so mad at me. Or green. There was Data who had the glasses.
Oh, yeah.
And then there was a pale.
Worf. Oh, no. Are you talking about the Next Generation?
Yeah, the Next Generation.
Worf was the Klingon.
That wasn't him.
And then there was Data, who was basically the Spock. He was the robot.
Yeah.
Yeah, because you're thinking of LaForge. LaForge had the thing on.
Oh, yeah, I'm thinking of LaForge. I'm thinking of Data. Data is the one I'm thinking of who had very limited emotional range, and they made him very stunted. But Spock is not so – he's not stunted in that way. He almost every once in a while he has this little, like, smirk that he does.
Yeah.
That – he's sort of highbrowing it, and I enjoy that about him.
Yeah, it's a great character. It's really, really, and part of what I said when Leonard Nimoy died, I said part of the fun in watching this show has been watching Leonard Nimoy really create something that's become like a pop culture icon, and you're watching it kind of develop over time.
Right. You're seeing him grow as a character before your very eyes.
Yeah, exactly.
And I think for my part, Leonard Nimoy, I saw him also on the series, why am I blanking?
Fringe?
Fringe, which I absolutely loved. I love sci-fi, and to do it so well, and then when he was on Fringe, just kind of reminded me what a great actor he was, because he didn't do a whole lot of other stuff.
He did a few things here and there, but yeah.
But whenever he cropped up on that, and I thought, that guy, you know?
Good old Leonard Nimoy.
Good old Leonard Nimoy.
If you ever want to see an interesting run, Leonard Nimoy took over after Martin Landau left Mission Impossible, which was shooting at the same time as Star Trek. On the same lot. They shot like next door to each other.
So you didn't have to go far.
And yeah, he took over. And it's really interesting to see him because he's playing a guy who's a master of disguise. So he's a little bit more... like, you know, hey, you know, a little bit more open and a little bit more,
hey.
Well, okay, that's it. We went over again. Damn it.
Damn.
In there. Get in there. Push hard.
Really, really push hard.
Okay, so for real this time, we will say that this transmission, Rebecca, always a pleasure.
No, you hang up.
You hang up.
You hang up.
Ready? We will say that this transmission ends now.